Good morning. It's a pleasure to welcome everyone to our council agenda session this morning. We'll begin with our invocation. It's a pleasure to be able to introduce to you Pastor Dwayne Bradford with Samaritan Bible Way Baptist Church. It's located at Bickley and Keast, and he's been there for 19 years. It's a pleasure to be able to welcome him. Could you please rise for Pastor Dwayne Bradford?
May we pray. Gracious God, our Father, how would you thank you for this day? We thank you for the gathering of the minds of those who have come, for the concerns of the people as a whole. We pray now that your complete and perfect will may be done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Mr. Grotto, would you lead us in the pledge? Again, Pastor Bradford, thank you for being with us. Madam Secretary, let's begin with our morning speakers.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. We begin this morning with Mary Martin, followed by Fran Moreno Randall. I will first recite the speaker guidelines. Citizens and other visitors attending the meeting of the City Council shall observe the same rules of propriety, decorum, and good conduct applicable to members of the City Council. Any persons making personal, impertinent, profane, or slanderous remarks or who become boisterous while addressing the City Council or while attending the City Council meeting shall be removed from the room if the Sergeant-at-Arms is so directed by the presiding officer, and the person shall be barred for further audience before the City Council during that session of the City Council. Again, your first speaker is Mary Martin.
Yes.
Please state your name and address for the record. You will be allowed 3 minutes to speak.
My name is Mary Martin. I live at 2505 Wedgley Drive, Unit 119, Dallas, Texas, 75211.
Go ahead.
I am a resident owner and member of the HOA board at Wedgley Place Manor. And I am here to speak against the Dallas Housing Authority plan to locate homeless, mentally ill clients and recovering drug and alcohol addicts to Cliff Manor, located on Fort Worth Avenue in Oak Cliff. Please know that I am not adverse to services to less fortunate Dallas residents. However, the area near Cliff Manor has more than its share of subsidized housing. As a resident owner, I am concerned that this new influx of clients will negate efforts that have been made or are being considered to revitalize our area. In November 2009, the DHA submitted a request for qualifications for supportive services at Oak Cliff Manor to solicit proposals for one or more firms to provide supportive services provision for permanent supportive housing at Cliff Manor. Interestingly, the contract was awarded to LifeNet, whose CEO sits on the Metro Dallas Homeless Alliance Board, MDHA. It would seem, based on a letter to Ms. Ross with the DHA from Ms. Betty Taylor with the City of Dallas, dated May 27th, that the aforementioned DHA request was premature in that their proposed new use of Cliff Manor has not received the proper review and approval of the city's building department. Ms. Taylor's letter raises several questions that should be addressed before this new use is considered. If these questions have been answered, or in the alternative, if the building department has concerns about the use, the neighborhood has not been aware of this issue. DHA plans do not call for Cliff Manor to be a lockdown facility. This means, of course, that tenants may come and go at any time, day or night. Who, if anyone, would oversee the occupants' departures, making sure medications have been taken or that contacts outside of Cliff Manor might be hanging around to test addicts' ability to resist offered drugs or alcohol? Has consideration been given to the chance encounter with children attending the two schools in close proximity of Cliff Manor? Is there a law or ordinance that prohibits the location of this type of facility proximate to schools? I have presented but a few of the questions and concerns that I feel must be addressed before the Dallas Housing Authority is allowed to proceed with the new plan for Cliff Manor. Thank you for your interest and your attention.
Thank you very much.
Our next speaker is Fran Marina Miranda, followed by Mark Minot.
My name is Fran Moreno Randall. I live at 2535 Wedgelea Drive, number 231, Dallas, Texas, zip 75211. I am on the board of directors of Wedgelea Manor Condominiums and represent 70 homeowners. Mayor Leppard and City Council members, the 70 homeowners of Wedgelea Manor Condominiums are against the plan to place 100 individuals with mental illness and or addiction issues in Cliff Manor. The most significant investment for most people is their home. For some, it means everything. It is beyond an investment. It is precious. Selecting a home is based on several factors. What people tell me is most important to them is that they live in a safe location. Second, they hope their home value remains stable and possibly appreciates. When neighbors in the area tell me they do not want Cliff Manor changed into permanent supportive housing, it is because they will no longer feel safe in their home. And they also believe their home values and the economic development of the area will decline dramatically. Dallas Housing Authority has indicated that former homeless addicts relocated to Cliff Manor will have received 4 to 5 months of rehabilitation services. Statistics prove that the relapse rate is very high after only one rehabilitation period, and that rate increases if the rehabilitation was provided on an outpatient basis. As to the mentally ill, refusal to take medication always results in worsening conditions. Since people cannot be forced to take medication, according to Dallas Housing Authority, those who refuse and act out will be released and evicted. Where will they go? Will they be physically returned to shelters downtown? Or will they be released into the neighborhood where there is an elementary school yards away? And will they cause degeneration in the quality of life for homeowners in North Oak Cliff? Also, residents of the area are concerned about discrepancies. For example, in a June 7 email, Ms. Rush of Dallas Housing Authority stated, "A small group of current residents are seniors. The majority are younger people. But in a May 26, 2010, Cliff Manor property profile, which was produced by DHA, statistics established 71% of the residents are 50 years of age and older with an average income of $794 a month." Mayor and City Council members, these issues must be addressed. Thank you for your attention.
Thank you for being here.
Our next speaker is Mark Minot, followed by Daniel Duke.
Good morning, Mayor Leppard and City Council members.
Pull your mic up, sir. Just a little. There you go.
Thank you. My name is Mark Minot. I live at 2209 West Colorado Boulevard, Dallas, Texas, 75211. I come to you today to talk about the Cliff Manor apartments that are immediately adjacent to my neighborhood, one block from my home. My home is in the neighborhood of Stevens Park Village. I have lived there almost 14 years. The neighborhood is a collection of single residence homes accommodating couples, small families, with a mixture of social, economic, and racial backgrounds. I enjoy this part of town because of the mix of people and their backgrounds. It is my understanding that the DHA intends to move 100 people from the bridge to Cliff Manor. These people have been described as having histories of substance abuse and mental issues. My neighborhood association conducted a door-to-door survey about this issue. 102 homes responded. Of those, 90% are opposed, 10% are unsure, and 0%, not one, agreed. The intent of this move is to alleviate crowding at the bridge and segue these individuals into permanent supportive housing as they assimilate into society. However, I do not see this as having been done in any location with such a large number. Isn't the idea of assimilation to integrate these individuals into society instead of isolating them in a large group in one place? Residents in Northern Oak Cliff have worked long and hard to improve the image and economic development of the Fort Worth Avenue corridor. In fact, there is the Fort Worth Avenue Development Group to assist in revitalization of this area. The City of Dallas itself has invested $1 million in TIF monies to encourage development immediately surrounding this manor. We have just had a brand new senior citizens apartment complex across from the street of Cliff Manor. I feel that we are on the cusp of making real improvements in our area. Now, I hear some developments are not moving forward due to Cliff Manor's new proposed residence project. Hearing the descriptions for assembly of recovering substance abusers and or mentally ill persons into a high-rise apartment building that stands across the street from an elementary school and abuts a stable single-home neighborhood does not sound like the best intentions for all citizens and parties that this will affect. I ask you to reconsider the approach and cease the project at Cliff Manor. Thank you for your time and listening to me.
Our next speaker is Daniel Duke, followed by Rich Sheridan.
Good morning. I am Daniel Duke, and I live at 2548 Wedgley Drive in North Oak Cliff. I'm the president of Wedgley Creek Garden Homes. We have 21 freestanding garden homes valued at $200,000 and up, with 31 residents. We are terribly disappointed that Mary Ann Ross, president of the Dallas Housing Authority, with the blessing of you, Mayor Leppard, would try to sneak 100 chronically homeless people with psychological and addictive problems into our Cliff Manor low-income housing for the elderly and physically handicapped. Our district already carries 5,979 units of public housing. We do not want to be the testing ground for Metro Dallas's Homeless Alliance's experiment with supportive housing. We are already doing our share of public housing. If this was such a great idea, why wasn't it discussed openly with the 12 surrounding neighborhoods? We do not appreciate being the dumping ground for the City of Dallas's homeless problem. Find another direction. During a meeting at the City Hall with the Neighbor Association presidents last week, it was brought to our attention that you, Mayor Leppard, were for supportive housing. However, you never saw fit to oversee a plan as to how this would be accomplished. I would like to see, by a show of hands, how many members of the City Council, including you, Mayor Leppard, would like 100 chronically homeless people with psychological and addictive problems move in across the street from where you live? No one. Not considering that just 50 yards away from a large elementary school and across the street from a brand new upscale housing for 198 plus active senior citizens. The latest and most significant damage done to our neighborhood is that the loss of Dick Seid's plan for law reunion. He decided to let the 27 acres that was once Colorado Place Apartments go back to the bank after announcement of this experiment. Thanks again for throwing Oak Cliff in front of the bus.
Our last speaker this morning is Rich Sheridan.
Before Mr. Sheridan, Mr. Newman, do you want to make some comments?
Thank you, ma'am. Mary, Fran, Mark, Daniel, thank you all for being here this morning. Mayor and Council, what you're hearing is the beginning of a tidal wave of distress coming from Oak Cliff. Because the neighborhood was ambushed and left out of the public discourse to determine its future. I am pleased, Mayor, that with your assistance, the project is on hold right now, and that we're going to have a town hall meeting on the 21st of June at Hitt Auditorium. It will be packed. I'm just so disappointed that as much as I as a councilman and you as a mayor and we as a council support permanent supportive housing and to help those that are in need, that we would ambush this single-family neighborhood along Fort Worth Avenue and in North Oak Cliff. This is not how you bring people together. This is how you send people apart. I anticipate that other leaders from this community will come forward at future council meetings, at DHA meetings, at Metro Dallas Homeless Alliance meetings, that they'll be writing you to express their concern about how they feel, and I agree with them, that their neighborhood, their home, their families are under attack because no one cared to involve them in the process. There'll be a lot more coming, but I just can't emphasize enough how distressed I am and how my neighbors are distressed by this unilateral action by Dallas Housing Authority and Metro Dallas Homeless Alliance. Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Davis, please.
Thank you, Mayor. I want to say that Steve and I co-chaired a subcommittee that the council approved to look at location on where we put these type of properties. We had several meetings with people and from around the city, and we thought it was balanced. We had business owners, we had homeowners, we had community leaders, we had a number of people to come that was a...
No. If Ms. Davis has the floor, she'll finish. There won't be comments.
Now, Mr. Newman should have selected who he wanted from his area. We ask each council member to give us a person or two to sit on that committee so they can give their input, because we want it to be fair and we want it to be balanced. We ask each council member. Some council members did not give us anybody to sit on those committees, and others did. We moved forward with the committee, and the committee, we talked about everything in that committee. Can I have, what's the name, come up?
Jerry?
Yeah, come up.
Mike Fienza.
Yeah, Mike, come up. Give a little brief about what we did in those committee meetings, please. And I just want people to be clear that each council member had an opportunity to put someone on the committee. And it could be anybody. It could have been somebody against or for it, for whatever reason. And it was to talk about where do we put these facilities. You know, how many do we put in a neighborhood? Do we do 60? Do we do 10? Do we do 5? Some people said they want them small. Some said they want them big. But we talked about it. So give a little overview about what happened.
Well, Councilmember Davis, you described the process right, and it was valuable, and I know that report's working its way through the housing committee, and then we'll go to quality of life. But what I found was the major part of the dialogue was an educational process about what permanent supported housing is. And it's not a shelter, it's not psychiatric care, it's permanent housing for people that have a right to live and be our neighbors, that has the support services to enable them to be successful. One of the things we found is that none of us, for or against coming into that process, could find any evidence that a permanent supported housing project in Dallas has done any damage at all to the quality of life in any neighborhood, has had any negative impact on the property values in the area. That's not one. And national research bears that out also. So I think that was the big thing. The second thing was that because the city is taking on a plan and committed itself to developing 700 units of permanent supported housing, that we really needed to enable that type of housing to take place all over the city. And also, there's recommendations that the City of Dallas and all its departments in planning and development, every plan that the council devised would take into account the city's commitment to permanent supported housing.
And also, I want to say this. I had the same problem in my district, and once again, I went back and worked with some people in my community. Now we're going to do a smaller unit of homeless housing for veterans. It's not as big as the first proposal, but we went back to the table and we said, okay, let's look at doing something much smaller. So we are going to be doing a much smaller unit for homeless veterans. So I think these should be baby steps. And Dave, and you know, I'm not, you know, you fight for your district on how you wish to, but I do think that we all have to take some ownership in this, each and every one of us as council members. So I think I'm doing my part by doing baby steps within my own district, and so we, and I have supported the nonprofit who wants to do homeless housing, supported housing for veterans. So I think that is a good thing. So, but I wanted you to know, not leaving here, that we did not have some type of committee to talk about these concerns in which you are addressing right now. We thought we'd try to fix the problem, but once again, this is going to have to continue to be one of these ongoing baby step situations that we take. Thank you so much, Mayor.
Thank you, Ms. Davis. Ms. Hossel, please.
Yes, thank you, Mayor. I think that there's a lot of emotion and frustration with what with the process, with how DHA decided to go forward with their plan. So as I said earlier, I said this last week, you know, we really need to be sure that the process that DHA uses does incorporate community input before they make any decision. We do that every day at City Hall. So, Mayor, I would certainly want to see that that DHA would enact something that would give us a process for community input before they make these decisions. And in terms of the homeless, my district is right next to Dave Newman's district. I represent District 1. And we have, I think what we're reacting to is when services for the homeless do not do what they were supposed to do, by taking care of them and making sure that their medications are taken and all that. We have a lot of providers that are not doing what they're supposed to be doing, and so those are the people you see in my district roaming Jefferson Boulevard with, you know, $5 in their pockets, and they're sent out all day long to do that. So we, you know, I think the reaction really is obviously to those providers who are not doing what they're supposed to be doing. And we need to be sure that that everyone follows those same rules. So I understand the frustration. I have a sister who lives in Wesley Tower, the Indigo now. And you know, I understand, again, my district is right next door, and we have already experienced problems with providers who are not doing what they're supposed to be doing. So I understand your frustration. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Hosso. Mr. Allen, please.
We talked about it last time. At the end of the day, this always comes up. And it seems like for some reason we always have a problem with this. And it goes back to communication. Apparently we have a failure in communication when we have this conversation over and over and over again. Maybe there needs to be a different approach on the front end, a different approach of maybe truly education, getting us all involved and being part of this. Again, we've only got 5,500 plus homeless in the city of Dallas. That sounds like a lot, but in 1,000,003, that's not that many homeless. Where I'm going with that, we ought to be able to solve this problem. We ought to be able to come together, take 5,500 people, find the proper places, give them the support that we need, and move forward with this. But it takes communication on both ends, and for whatever reason, we have this conversation over and over and over again, and we do not have, for some reason, we always have this conflict that comes up. Need to come together on this, get it figured out. Rest assured that this is spread out throughout the entire city. Not one area has that much more than the other area at the end of the day. So I know out of my area, I've got my fair share of that. It goes right back, though, to communication, showing how the support is there, coming up with the success stories, and we've got to do a better job. Other than that, it just looks like it's being pushed down people's throats instead of the buy-in that comes into this, and that just won't work. People will not stand for things being pushed down their throats. So a different approach needs to be taken on this. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Allen. Mr. Salazar, please.
Thank you, Mayor. And I agree with what everyone has said, I think, but one thing we have to keep in mind is that this is a lot about not having enough information and jumping to conclusions. I've heard it said several times that these providers are not doing their job well. On the people they talk about, who are those providers? I think the issue here today is we know who the provider is. I think the Dallas Bridge is involved, and I think they have a really good track record since they began. So it's really not about generalizing the situation and saying providers, but it's really understanding who are these providers. Have them have a good communication with council members so the council members can understand what it is they're providing, who are they helping, and maybe it's the people that we're seeing are the ones that are not with providers that we need to also help get to these providers. I think there's a miscommunication and we compound the situation when we generalize the whole population of homeless by saying those providers aren't doing their job. We have thousands that are in facilities, that are in residential housing, that are doing good job as providers and helping those individuals, but we're not getting those complaints. We're getting other complaints where perhaps these people need to get to providers. So I don't want to put providers on the spot to say that they don't do their job. They do their job. But I think we as a city need to partner up, and I think that's part of the task force for the for housing that we have put together, and later this month we will be addressing the communication component on the recommendations that were submitted to us. So hopefully in the future, as we develop this plan and move forward on how providers can communicate and developers communicate, not only to the city council but also to the communities when these projects are coming in the future. So hopefully we can start bridging that gap that exists today and help get these people the help they need, you know, because we're not talking about putting people out on the street in Oak Cliff or North Dallas or West Dallas. We're talking about giving people homes, whether they're permanent or temporary, but getting them off the street and into a housing unit where they can get the services they need, whether they be veterans, mothers with children, or individuals who do have some chronic issues but need more providers than normal people do. So I think we should thank Mr. Newman for working diligently on this to communicate with his district on what's coming in. I think it's important that the residents, where they be in Oak Cliff or any other area, should understand what exactly the providers are going to be doing and also how they can be monitors but also good neighbors
to any development that's looking to come in, but they have to have an equal understanding of what's coming in and have equal participation on those decisions as well. Thank you.
Appreciate it. Ms. Salazar, I appreciate those comments. I think those were well-targeted, and also thank you for what you're doing on the Housing Committee, especially in this topic, and also assisted by Ms. Davis. Clearly, I think the communication is a big issue, and any neighborhood in our community or any place across the nation deserves to have conversations so that people understand what's happening. And in fact, I think when that happens, an awful lot of good things follow. People understand what the real story is, and I think in this case, as you articulated, Mr. Allen, we may not have the real story out there. I appreciate Mr. Newman, his leadership, because he's going to get the people together, walk through what this is, make sure the voices of the community are heard, and that becomes a very important part of it. I also want to stress the success that we've had. Clearly, the homeless situation is one that affects every district in our community and in this city. Over the course of the 2 years that the bridge has been open, we've served about 1 million meals, but more importantly, there's 1,600 people that receive jobs. So those people now are not receiving the benefits of the government. In fact, they're paying taxes that go in to providing additional goods and services. In addition to that, we've provided about 600 permanent homes for individuals, again, getting them to be a productive part of the society. Through the work of this council, there's been approximately, in the last couple of years, 531 units worth of permanent supported housing that have been that bridge to get people to be back in the community. And the bottom line to all that is, with the survey that was just recently completed, homelessness, chronic homelessness, which we set a very aggressive target. I think people at various times scoffed at the target of trying to eliminate chronic homelessness by 2014. It's down 57%, so we're well on the way to trying to address that. And clearly that's the challenge. I think Mr. Newman very appropriately stated it. We've got the balance of making sure that individual communities understand what's happened, their interests are taken into consideration, as well as we're addressing some of these issues. And I can tell you it makes a big difference to taxpayers. We probably, between the city and the county over the course of the 2 years, saved $3 to $5 million in costs that otherwise we would have had to put in the city, et cetera. We've seen crime rates, especially in the downtown area, key parts of the downtown that have been over 50% in key areas, so that we've seen impacts that have benefited the entire city and our taxpayers too. So we need to make sure we hit this balance. Clearly, the communication isn't what it should be. Mr. Duke, as I close, I want to make one comment to you. What was attributed to me by DHA in various of those meetings was inaccurate. I have communicated that to DHA. DHA has come back to me and said, you're absolutely right. We shouldn't have said that. So some of the comments that you made, I'm not going to go into the detail of them, but those were inaccurate. I think those have been settled, at least in my conversations with DHA. And at some point, one-on-one, I'd be happy to visit with you. Mike, is there anything that you'd like to kind of say in closing, because we need to move on very quickly?
Thank you, Mayor. And I believe I understand everything that's been said, and Metro Dallas Homeless Alliance wants to respond to every question you have. I just want to say one thing, that the issue of permanent supported housing, started thinking about is there a strategy out there to take a leap forward in permanent supported housing, given what we see, the stress on the bridge. There's between 1,200 and 1,300 people there each day in a wonderful campus that was designed to have traffic of 500 to 600 people. We're managing well. The outcomes are good. But where do we go with permanent supported housing? I wanted to figure out a strategy where we could develop housing without tax credits, without city funding, without approval of the council district. And in the partnership with the Housing Authority, we have really found that solution. There may be some misunderstanding about the role of DHA in this and the rest of their facilities. First of all, for Cliff Manor, there, in its most fundamental way, there will be no change in the...
Mike, why don't you take about 15 seconds to try to summarize? I'm going to kind of push this along.
I want to introduce you to Frida and Catherine. Could you stand up, please? I attended Mike Rawlings' honoring dinner last night, as you did, Mayor, and Councilmember Margolin. And they are residents of the bridge. They're not poster children. They are the people that have been accepted by DHA in the Cliff Manor. They're delightful young ladies. They both are brave enough to say that they have had mental disorders. It's Frida and Catherine. Frida and I have the same diagnosis. I'd make the case that I would be a solid citizen at Cliff Manor. So just want to put a human face on this. The people we're talking about, the community does not need protection. The folks that would move into Cliff Manor will be some of Council Member Newman's most positive constituents.
Ma'am?
Mr. Newman, then we're going to complete
Mayor, this. Mayor, I very much appreciate your efforts. But bringing individuals down as a showcase, as an ambush back to neighborhood leaders is not... I'm sorry, Mayor. This sort of showcasing is not the way you bring people together. It's not the way you have constructive conversation. This is exactly what is irritating. That is exactly what is... Mayor, I have the floor.
Mr. Newman,
go ahead. What is exactly...
No. Excuse me. No. Mr. Newman, please.
Guys, this is exactly what is exasperating the problem that we have in front of us. You have just witnessed it. Now, if we would have had an open, forthright conversation, Mayor, to say, let's bring people together, let's talk about a potential proposal, instead of making this declaration, 18 people already approved in DHA's Cliff Manor, that is not how you bring people together. Might I remind you, this council, the very taxpayers that are here, spend $4 million a year of city tax dollars to fund the bridge. And you put that at risk. Mayor, this was actually very good. Okay. That's my point.
Nope, and I appreciate all the work of the council. As Mr. Newman said, on the 21st of this month, there will be a session. I think that will be a good one where both sides can talk about this, air the issues, and hopefully come to a resolution that makes sense for the various communities as well as the city in total and the people involved. I think that's the goal. With that, Madam Secretary, I think you've got one more speaker.
Yes, sir. Rich Sheridan.
Yes, good morning. My name is Rich Sheridan. I live at 3022 Forest Lane, Dallas, Texas. I'm here to talk about the K2 challenge and opportunity. And I see this primarily as a youth issue with major implications. There was a TV news item last week about this K2 herb, an incense being purchased by minors in Allen, Texas, that showed an irate parent and the police chief scratching his head wondering what to do. The K2 herb is a marijuana substitute, a marijuana clone. According to reviews, K2 gives the user just about the same feeling as the natural marijuana does. K2 contains a man-made chemical that is slightly different in chemical composition than the TEC contained in natural marijuana. It doesn't show up in drug tests. A copy in your handout, second page, of the back of the K2 packet presented states two falsehoods. One, not for human consumption. Two, for aromatherapy only. Also, an advertisement from a Dallas store is presented, and they believe it's being sold in Dallas as I speak. In the city of Dallas, smoking marijuana is illegal, and a person found smoking in public can either receive a ticket or be taken to jail. K2 presents a major challenge to Dallas City Government, the city of Dallas, and the state of Texas. There's no question in my mind that some kind of regulation is required and required immediately concerning K2. But what kind of regulation will it be? Perhaps K2 provides us with the opportunity to do the right thing, to strike a balance in an unbalanced society in which we live. I'll jump ahead for the sake of time. Concerning Dallas and the state of Texas, regulating K2, I feel we should institute a law immediately prohibiting the sale to under 21-year-olds. I believe Kansas allowed it one time, and now it's forbidden to be sold in Kansas. So something needs to be done, whether limiting the sale to minors or prohibiting for a short term until a detailed evaluation can be made. You know, there are many draconian laws today that excessively punish our children. 70% of Texas inmates are there because of drugs, with a 65% recidivism rate, return rate. Former Police Chief Kunkel said we can't arrest ourselves out of crime. In the great movie Traffic, Michael Douglas, who played the U.S. drug czar, stated in a press conference that the war on drug is a war on our children. My son can't get a decent job because of a soft drug conviction and probation over 11 years ago. I pray that the introduction of Tape 2 moves our drug laws to a more compassionate and common sense approach. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it. With that, then, let's go ahead to move to our the agenda. The first item is, of course, the minutes of the previous session. Those have been distributed. It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Any opposed, so ordered. There are a number of items on our consent agenda that were requested to be reviewed individually by various members of the council. Let me go through those with you. Item number 4, Mr. Newman requests that be considered individually. Item number 6, Mr. Newman. Item number 10, Mr. Newman, Ms. Margolin, and Mr. Atkins all requested that that be considered individually. Item number 16, Ms. Hill. Item number 29, Mr. Newman. Item number 39, Mr. Newman. Then over on the addendum, item number 2, Ms. Margolin, and item number 4, Ms. Margolin. And then in addition to that, item number 1 on the addendum, Mr. Atkins has a conflict of interest, so that will be considered individual.
Item number 5 on addendum 5.
Item number 5?
Uh-huh.
Item number 5. So the ones we'll consider individually on the regular agenda then will be 4, 6, 10, 16, 29, 39, and then over on the addendum, 1, 2, 4, and 5. With that, if I could get a motion for approval of the remainder of the consent agenda. It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Any opposed? So ordered. Madam Secretary, if we could go to item number 4, please.
Yes, sir. Item number 4 is authorized number 1, participation in a purchasing agreement with the Public Sourcing Solutions, and 2, a 3-year master agreement for office supplies, Office Max through Public Sourcing Solutions.
Mr. Newman?
Yes, Gene. Good morning, Gene. How are you?
Good. How are you?
My question goes to, and you and I exchanged some emails, but I'm still a little confused about this, the green component. It seems like the contract that's before us says that we're looking for the store brand or a green product alternative, correct?
Correct.
This kind of follows a little bit of Mr. Allen's question 2 weeks ago when we talked about the any differential that we as a city are paying for as it relates to our energy. Same question here. Is there differential cost to the city for these green product alternatives?
When we're setting up the items,
same.
Our staff will set up the items that can be purchased under this contract, we will consider the green options available, and the price of those green options would be considered. So if the green paper is more expensive, then we would not purchase.
So, again, my question goes to, in other words, those are going to be eliminated from the option?
They'll be default purchases.
Right.
We're setting up this system so that you can't buy the most expensive piece of paper or the most expensive ballpoint pen. You go to a store brand on the green products, it'll be the same way. If the green products are the least expensive, we will default to buy them when you order them. We order them online.
Okay, so you're saying there is going to be no cost differential, additional cost to the city for that?
Right.
Right.
Okay, all right. I move approval.
Move the second. All in favor? Madam Secretary.
Item number 6 is authorized. Item number 6 is authorized a 3-year service contract for ground maintenance services at floodway levees and library properties. Bio Landscape and Maintenance Incorporated in the amount of $552,422. Forest Hill Lawn Services Incorporated in the amount of $127,620. And JBA Land Management LLC in the amount of $71,568. Lowest responsible bidders of 7.
Mr. Newman, please.
Yes. I don't know if my question is for Kelly or for Forrest. It goes to, because this is a combination of a service for, hold on a second, get my notes. Yeah. It's talking about cutting lawns, and it's for libraries as well as the Trinity, correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay. We're having this debate as a council, both, you know, at public sessions and committee sessions, about potentially cutting back on what we're doing as far as maintenance of city facilities, whether it be park and rec facilities or whether it be libraries and that sort of thing. How can we go forward with a contract like this when we have made that determination of that?
For the price agreement.
Okay, well,
you have to do the levy. That's part of
no disagreement there.
On the library side, that will be part of the decision as we go forward. The libraries have been putting in minimal watering.
Sustainable.
Sustainable, right. Thank you. I was going to throw that word. So that there will be less expense, but you will make that determination in the process of your budget about how much money we spend on that. This is the contract. We will have to do some of it. Our cycles may be different than they are, but we will have to do some of it.
Okay, and this wouldn't bind us for whatever we do
it does not.
Okay, fine. Move approval.
Thank you very much. Moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Any opposed, so ordered. Madam Secretary, I think 10 is the next one.
Item number 10 is authorized supplemental agreement number 1 to the service contract with CompuCom Systems for help desk support services through the Department of Information Resources State of Texas Cooperative Contract.
Mr. Atkins, please.
Yes. On this particular item, number 10, we're looking at agreement of the $1.7 million agreement to the contract. And we bid $8 million on the current budget. Could you just tell me where would the $1.72 million come from? Because there is this kind of balling up. We got some from the rec center, the library. So tell me which department is $1.72 million come from?
The contract increase is an issue of using up the funds on the existing contract. We already have included in our budget funds to pay for these costs.
So you said the phone was already in the budget?
Right. We plan for the cost for the help desk.
Okay. You plan $1.7 million, but when will the contract is actually up?
I'm sorry.
When does the contract expire?
The contract expires March of 2011.
March of 2011. So have there been work they're going to see the $8 million contract? That you need a 1.7. They see the contract beyond the $8 million.
Yeah, we had some additional work added to the scope of the services without adding dollars to the contract. For example, the computer help desk support for the fire station computers was previously covered under a separate contract with a different vendor. When that contract expired, we added those services to this contract without any dollars to the contract. We had the money in the budget to pay for it. We just changed the contract.
When you said that you had additional services like to the fire department, which has public service, then you have some more money will come from the library. So is there more than one department that this $1.72 million is going to cover? I'm just trying to find which department.
All departments pay an assessment to use the help desk. It's part of the annual budget. The contract increase isn't really a budget issue more than we just expended the funds more quickly than anticipated.
So in this $1.7 million, you're saying that it helped to pay for the additional work?
Exactly.
Additional work.
Right.
But we are talking about a budget that we are talking about cutting libraries out of or rec some out of whatever, where this would be money that we have even decided, if we do decide to cut money, this money would never be used. Is that correct?
We only use what we need, and if we reduce the level of service provided.
But this 1.7, if that depends on if we do reduce the level of service, or we are going with current service?
It's not been decided, the level
we haven't,
of service.
We haven't decided.
For next year's budget, but if we do reduce services, then we would budget less because we wouldn't be using the same level of service under this contract. So we may not spend all of the $1.7 million.
We may not spend it.
Right.
So that would save money to some of the department, like libraries, so we might have additional money
Yes,
access,
if we decide
an
to reduce the level of service, yes.
So we might have some money in that budget. So why are we voting on this today? Why are we not waiting until we balance the budget to see if we have additional money or not? So why are we voting today?
Well, we are about to exhaust the funds remaining in the contract, so in order to continue providing help desk services and PC services to all of our users for the remainder of the year and until we can negotiate a new contract, we need to authorize it.
So when will we exhaust the funds?
Probably by the end of July.
End of July, we'll be on break.
In August, yeah.
So when those funds exhaust, then you ask the council today that at the end of July we will exhaust the fund and we need additional money to pay for ongoing.
Exactly.
But also you ask for us to do something that we don't know how much money that would be in each department reserved because we don't know that we'll have additional library hours, not additional library hours. So we might have some money left over, but we don't know that.
We don't know that at this point, but if we reduce the services, we would adjust the budget accordingly.
So could you give us how much money that comes from each department, the library, you know, the reserve, if you got $100,000 from a library or $20,000, I need a line item.
It's not laid out that way.
But why is not, Mary?
Each pays a certain amount given based on our judgment of their usage. Then, again, if they use it...
Well, I guess I'm kind of confused if it's not laid out their way on a line item.
I can give you an amount, but what it is we divide all the IT services between the departments and charge them a fee for that. And those fees fund the IT department. So, yes, if we did not use it all, there would be some left over. But I can't tell you now. As you remember, this is a service that kind of maintains the computers on the desktop. It's a desktop service. And so when we call, folks come and fix our computers. It's considerably cheaper for us to do it on an annual basis this way than for us to have people on staff. We make an estimate every year of how much we're going to have. As our computers get older, we may have more. But we can't wait because we have these concerns every day. And, you know, in the library, people are using...
And that's what I'm trying to get at. You know, if we talk about reducing the library, you know, budget or whatever, if that part of that budget was reduce the service, and that's for $100,000, and that library is going to be cut, that means that money is going to have extra. So all that I need is you have to do it today between now. If we vote on today, I want to know how much money we will have. If we do not reduce library, whatever, I'm just trying to find out how much money is in that basket, in that bucket.
We can show you how much is charged to the library.
How much charged to the library?
Right.
But I want to know in each department how much charged each department.
Okay.
Because the public safety got X amount of dollars, so it's 1.7. So I'm assuming that the 1.7 million, the biggest the part will be charged to would be public safety. Is that a fair statement?
They are a big consumer of IT.
They're probably the biggest one, you know,
yes.
Paying for this budget. Okay. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you very much. Ms. Bergholm, please.
Thank you. I'm approaching this from a slightly different angle. It seems that when we started the contract for $8.1 million, we were anticipating spending about $136,000 a month. That's just 8.1 divided by the 60 months. But we've used it up in about 52 months. So we really spent at the rate of $157,000 a month. This 1.7 would equal about $212,000 a month. So we keep using this at an increasing rate. And I'm wondering, why has the usage sped up so much? And do we anticipate that we're going to keep going at this $212,000 rate, or are we going to look at our budget and say, this is a place that we could pull back? And if that's the case, why are we approving $1.7
million? $1.7 million is kind of a worst case scenario so that we do not have to come back for another supplemental agreement. We are currently have issued a request for proposals, and we'll be negotiating a new contract. So we are anticipating a decrease in cost. We'll bring that contract award back in November, December timeframe. One of the things that occurred that we didn't anticipate when this contract was originally approved was the PC support at the fire stations that was previously done by a different contractor. When that contract expired, we added that service onto this contract without adding any dollars. So that's part of the reason for the change order is because of that additional level of service there. So we will be looking at where we could reduce services during this year's budget and then adjusting the budget accordingly.
I hope at some point you'll let us know specifically what you ended up doing with this item because it's a significant chunk of money.
Certainly.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Margolin. Ms. Davis, please.
Thank you so much. Mary, on some of these line items, we have questions. Can you meet with council members beforehand to anticipate that some of these questions might come up?
Yes, ma'am, we do, but sometimes council members like to ask us here in this setting too, so that's okay.
Okay. And when we do our briefing, when we're briefed on the budget, in this particular line item, did we talk a little more about this when we did the budget?
We've talked about help desk before, yes. And as I said before, it's a privatization. We don't have people on our staff to do this anymore. We privatized that service. We did not include all the computers we need to include. This covers 7,600, 7,900, somewhere in their computers that are serviced. And you know that your computers, you use the service too. So it's a pretty essential service to keeping our work going because it's a service on your desktop computer, on yours and on every city employee that works with a computer. So we need to keep them working.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Mr. Newman, please.
And I'm very supportive of this item, and I think that, we have to constantly look at is it more cost effective to take care of it ourselves or outsource it, and I think this methodology works to outsource it in a much smaller scale. My small company, I outsource my IT work and that sort of thing. But the same thing that I as a small business owner deal with is what the city deals with, and that is you can spend an endless amount of money on trying to get up to speed on technology and support. There is a limit to that. And I think that's to a certain extent when Ms. Margolin goes to the rate of increase and that sort of thing. So my only caution is, you know, as we keep going down this budget path, is as important as IT and those sort of things are, that too has to, there has to be a limit to where we spend based on our constraints of resources. So, thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Cooper, please.
Yes, and I will be supportive as well. And I do like the idea that we're outsourcing. I think it provides more current and up-to-date personnel than retraining our personnel every few years trying to provide that service. My question would be on some of the services that are not here, not at City Hall, that are, for example, with fire stations, small area, you know, I'm sure there's other areas in the city where we have IT services, mm-hmm. very small offices, so on and so forth. What the most effective way to approach those are? Because here at City Hall, where we've got staff to come in, and if you've got a problem either on the helpline or to come in and work on your computer, there may be a different strategy to use in those offices that are small satellite offices that are not OCMOC and so on and so forth. So that's kind of what I'd like to see in the future is the addressing of our IT services in those smaller offices. Is that just performed by, an online helpline, or are there people that go out there and routinely train our personnel to be efficient in solving their own problems? Because there might be a greater efficiency, a greater way to find efficiencies than the way we're doing it right now. Now, I hope everybody did get a call from this company that supports, that holds the contract. They did call and they ran through with me a list of questions that they wanted me to answer in like a survey. And I think that's a good stepping stone to being able to provide good services because there are customers out there, all of our city employees are customers as far as this service goes, or is this company's customer. So I think there's something valid to be said for that. They need to hear back from the employees as to what's working and what's not working for them. So I also would like that, either if you can provide that, you know, or if you can't provide it now at a future date, I think that's something that would be worthwhile, because we want to have the most effective and efficient and low-cost services, but like I said, effective and efficient. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you very much. On this item, could I get a motion?
Second.
Mr. Atkins, Ms. Hill, thank you very much. It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Any opposed? So ordered. Madam Secretary, item number 16, please.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Item number 16 is authorize the issuance of tax-exempt educational facilities bonds to be issued by the Red River Education Finance Corporation in an aggregate principal amount not to exceed $7,300,000 for the benefit of the Lamplighter School. Councilmember Hill, pull the item.
Ms. Hill, please.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. After making clarifying comments, I intend to second Ms. Margolin's motion to approve this item. However, I want to make some things clear to the listening public, because I don't think it is clear based on the documents that are now in the public venue. Ms. Chipperfield, this is an issuance of tax-exempt bonds for the use of a specific educational institution. Is that correct?
Yes, it is, for the Lamplighter School.
Is the city of Dallas obligated in any manner on these bonds?
No, this is not an obligation whatsoever of the city of Dallas.
Is the city's full faith and credit at risk in any manner?
No, it is not.
Can any other school use this same mechanism?
Nonprofit, secondary education, and higher education institutions can use this form of financing.
In the publicly stated document under background, there is the sentence that says, the Red River Education Finance Corporation has represented that it is authorized by Chapter 53A of the Texas Education Code to issue bonds. In my mind, when I see a statement that says someone has represented something, that indicates that you're not making the statement. You are relying on what someone else told you. Is that a correct interpretation of this language?
I did rely on what they told me, but I also have verified that they are authorized to make a tax-exempt debt issuance. They are an instrumentality of the city of Windsor, which allows them to issue tax-exempt debt. So I have verified that for you.
So you can say to this council and to the listening public that this corporation is indeed authorized to do what they're asking this council to do.
Yes, they are.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Ms. Margolin, do you want to make a motion?
I'd like to move approval. I'm happy that the City of Dallas can do this for one of our fine schools, and if others want to take advantage of it, I would encourage them to come to us as well. This was briefed in budget, audit, and finance, so I move approval.
Second.
Appreciate it, Ms. Allen, please. It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Any opposed? So ordered. Madam Secretary, 29, please.
Item number 29 is authorized, number one, a contract with McVell Associates, LLC, lowest responsible bidder of 8, for the construction of improvements to the taxi cab holding area at Dallas Love Field in an amount not to exceed $791,473, and number two, an increase in appropriations in the amount of $791,473 in the Aviation Capital Construction Fund. Councilmember Newman.
Ms. Newman.
I give this question actually for either for Mary or for Dan Weber or for AC. In reviewing this item, what the manager is recommending us to spend is $791,000 on a taxi cab hut.
Well, the taxi cab, what you have out there right now is a tin building with some very antiquated, nasty bathrooms in it. This is the waiting area for the cab queue line. And normally, the cab queue line provides adequate bathroom and space for people to wait in. We charge a fee to the guys that go in and out of the airport. It's increasing the waiting area on concrete, the waiting area, and taking down a basically tin building that has bathrooms that are not adequate for the amount of use they get.
$800,000.
It's also concrete work.
In addition to the facility, a little bit more than half of the cost is the expansion of the paving. Right now, we have paving that accommodates 100 cabs, and our daily peak is 160 cabs. So we have overflow into the grass area. So this project will accommodate the current demand for cab queuing.
So it's the bathrooms, the structure, and concrete paving for the. Okay, all right. That just seems $800,000 for a cabbie waiting area. Next question. You mentioned, Mary, that we charge a trip fee. Is that correct, Dan?
That is correct, yes.
And what is the current trip fee? Is it $1?
It's $1 per trip, and it generates about $135,000 a year.
Okay. Is that money dedicated to the airport enterprise fund? Is that kept in that, or does that come back to the general fund?
Airport.
And is this money that's proposed here today coming out of the airport enterprise fund?
Yes, it is.
So the money's all contained there. It doesn't go anyplace else. Okay. So you said $135,000 a year?
Currently, yes.
Currently. Okay. Okay. I just, you know, $800,000 for cabbie waiting area just gives me pause in this environment that we're in. Okay. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you very much. Mr. Allen, please.
What's the average wait time of these cabs when they're there?
During the morning, it's about 2 hours, and in the afternoon and evenings, about 3.5 hours.
So, long wait time.
Yes. We're
just going to increase the concrete to give a more space for more people to come and wait.
No, it's not a hangout. It's a facility specifically to serve the demand at the terminal. Any vehicle that goes to the front of the terminal to pick up the passengers has to come through the holding area. That's where all taxi cabs report to the airport, and then they're dispatched from that point.
And afternoon, they'll wait 3 hours to get one ride.
Yes, yes.
Councilman Newman, that's a lot of money. So, being a very tight budget season that we're in, I understand the enterprise fund, but it's just a lot of money for a 3 hour wait time. I would hope that maybe there was a situation where they could go up and maybe only have to wait 30 minutes and such, but apparently we've got an excess number of cabs. So,
well,
so anyway, thank you very much.
Mr. Zinski, please.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Two questions, Mr. Weber. The issue of how long they need to wait, are we finding ourselves in a position where we're creating space for too many cabs to be waiting? In other words, would it be better to have 50 or 60 cabs rotate through the terminal on a daily, on a daily basis and get more jobs, more pickups and trips for them?
Well, again, we're only building this to accommodate the demand that we have today. And
can you define demand for me? In other words, is it demand because the cabs are going there and waiting, or is it demand because you have passengers lined up who need a cab? Which is it?
It's because we have the passengers lined up who need a cab. We currently have about 430.
Then why are they waiting 2 or 3 hours?
Because
the cabs waiting 2 or 3 hours. In other words, you know what I'm saying? You've got a certain number of people that are coming off planes that come to the curb and need a taxi on an hourly basis.
Yes.
So wouldn't it be better to try to match in some proportion the number of cabs that are waiting on an hourly basis to the number of passengers that are waiting on an hourly basis? Add a little bit of a safety cushion. There are things like cell phones and radios if there's a big rush all of a sudden. In fact, many airports, Las Vegas is an example, and I know it's not the same as Love Field, gets a continual report from the airlines that the number of passengers coming in on various flights, and they know what to expect when they get there. So again, I'm asking, are we building a facility based on the number of cabs that want to line up, or are we building it on the basis of the number of cabs that we need for the passengers that need a cab every hour?
I guess a good way to answer the question is that any cab that serves the airport has to start that at that holding area. They can't go directly to the front of the terminal. They have to start there. So given that situation and the fact that we have 430 cab trips a day going through the terminal.
Cab how many?
430 a day on an average. During the peak.
Is that in a 10-hour period or an 8?
No, that's from the first arrivals in the morning to the last arrivals at night. So it's about an 18 or 19-hour day. And most of that takes place during the peak periods. The biggest peak is mid-morning, mid-morning, and then again around 5 or 6 o'clock, and then tapers off towards.
What's the highest number of cabs you need per hour? 30.
That's what I heard.
On an hourly basis, I'm going by memory, I think it's approaching 100 hours.
Well, if I divide 20 hours by the 430 cab pickups that you get every day, that's 20 per hour. So let's assume maybe you need 40 per hour at your peak. So why are we, if you need 40 an hour and you want to put another 40 sitting and waiting out there is 80, why do we have space for twice as many as we may need? And Madam Manager, you know, maybe this is the wrong place to get into this, but it sort of piqued my interest when it was brought up individually, and it seems to me that
We'll get you the numbers, and he did say it was 100 at the peak, was his memory. So let us get you the math and bring it back to you.
Okay, my second question revolves around, will this facility, whether we build it or we don't build it, or we build it to the size or whatever, is it designed to survive the redo of the terminal facilities and so forth, so that we're not finding ourselves in a position to rebuild a new one later?
That's correct. Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, Mr. Atkins.
Number one, Dan, on this particular item, we're talking about, you know, $800,000. I know that's a whole lot of money, but as we know that this money do not go to the general fund, it stay in the aviation bucket. So as a director, I guess you as director of aviation and your aviation staff decided that we do need this. So based on your own reason, why do you as a director say that we need to do this particular capital construction improvement?
Yep.
Right. Now, then I look here, we're talking about 2014, and you look at 2014, so what you're saying is, number one, during construction, we're going to 2014 when the right amendment is lifted, that we probably have more cabs coming there. So therefore, we are speculating because Southwest is putting $1 billion improvement to their terminal, that we feel like that $800,000 project is very minute compared to someone else doing capital improvement.
That's right.
Is that a first thing?
Yes.
So therefore, the $800,000 is not coming from the taxpayers. It's coming from the aviation. It's coming from Southwest Airlines, who do pay the landing fee to pay for that. So if we're going to have a great airport, we need this type of facility when people decide to land there to go, those cab drivers got to be there to pick them up. Is that the first thing?
Yes.
Okay. I'll move this item and go forward.
If you want to, we can certainly do that. I heard the city manager say that she was favoring holding it and getting the relative information that was requested.
We as policymakers, we got a motion to go forward, and we got a discussion here, so I got a motion on the board to go forward, because I feel like this is something that they need to do, because we got construction work coming up. So we should not be able to delay this because Southwest got an improvement to the property, $1 billion improvement in construction costs. So why should we delay? I think we should go forward with it.
And we had other clusters
open
stuff, yeah.
We never
didn't hold back.
So we didn't have any perspective. She worked for us. She worked for us. So I got a motion on the floor.
Okay. Ms. Kane, please.
Okay. Tanel, I agree with you, and we've got a huge project out there. But first, I'd like to ask, we've got a project coming up with regional cabs and parking in this type of situation, and trying to reduce the the cabs coming to the airports, which is coming up. I believe it's this month. We have a meeting. You're in that with me also, Danelle, on that. So it might behoove us to hold this off until after that meeting to see what we can do with the number of cabs coming to the airports. We may not need it. So I'm just wondering if that could be a possibility.
Excuse me. Let Mr. Cadane finish. Mr. Cadane? Did you want to? Mr. Atkins?
Sheffy, I know we got a meeting coming up, Sheffy, but my concern is, number one, that the aviation department, I think they tied in with Southwest Airlines. We're talking about 2014. The aviation, we as policymakers, if we listen to the aviation department, they should forecast what they think construction costs are going to be and what they need to be at Love Field in the capital. So we as policy, Dan Welber is our aviation director. So he telling us that this way they need this. Now, if he can tell us we need a wait, then I'd rather hear from the director saying we need a wait because of construction. I don't know if this empowers Southwest Airlines, construction, demolition. I don't know that. So I'm not on that team that do the construction for Southwest Airlines. I don't know. So if we talk about that, we need, are you in charge of Southwest Airlines construction overseeing what's going on?
We share that.
Do this impair their construction timeline to do this? Or we tie this in at the same time? No.
This doesn't impact the modernization program.
Okay.
So let me ask you, Mr. Weber, would it behoove you to, if we did go into this meeting and come out reducing the cabs at the airports, possibly we wouldn't need that facility?
I wouldn't say we wouldn't need it. We may not need that size. Depends on the outcome, yes.
So, but it wouldn't hurt us one way or another to hold it off for...
No, if that's the council's desire, it wouldn't hurt. It wouldn't.
Okay. You don't have any time constraints on it then?
No.
Or near term? Okay, thanks. Ms. Davis, please.
Thank you, Mayor.
Mary, why would we put this on the agenda?
Because we were ready to get it, but like many things, we're ready to get it done. Like many things that go on the agenda, you have questions, and if we can't answer them in this setting, we'll bring them back to you. Now, that is entirely up to y'all. When we put it on the agenda, we are ready for it to go. If you have questions that you want to...
So Dave feel like it's too high, as we started out with Dave saying it's too high. Then Mr. Allen agreed that perhaps it's a little too high. Did we not get briefed on any of this?
No.
Mary, please.
We are comfortable with what we're doing, but we have some questions that we haven't answered clearly, mm-hmm. And if you want us to delay it and answer the questions, I'll be happy to.
What department does this go to?
Pardon?
Does this go to a particular committee? I mean, it's a committee.
I was going to send you a memo with the questions asked, and we'll talk with you individually about... Yeah. If you have other questions, for people to have questions.
Okay.
All right. I'd share that, too. I think that most probably more appropriate than a committee briefing. Ms. Coop, please.
Dan, Mr. Weber, is your staff involved in the regional effort to do regional registration and all the things that go along with that? I know Mr. Cadane is. Is your staff involved in that?
I believe that would be Public Works and Transportation staff.
I'll tell you somebody from Public Works and Transportation to tell me if they're involved in the regional effort at the COG.
I'm almost positive they are. But the thing is, this may impact and it may not, and we need to ask. I mean, and the deals with taxis are long and drawn out, so we'll have to figure out how long you're going to get a result from that committee on regional registration and when the need is on this. Mm-hmm. So we need
and I think that's a good point. I just want to make sure that the airport staff is plugged into that because it's a whole series of things that's going to go on. Now, we're going to need every taxi cab and every limo and everything else for the Super Bowl. There is no question about that. So I think that goes unsaid, that there's going to be a lot of activity coming up this year on that. But I think strategically speaking, someone from your staff needs to be involved in that effort through the COG so that they can understand. And Mr. Cadane's handling all the taxi issues, so you know there needs to be a little bit more coordination between someone on your staff and the region and Mr. Cadane and Mr. Atkins on that. Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Atkins, please.
Do we have a contract pending to do the construction work?
It has been bid, and I'm not sure what the period of...
Now, is that a cost? I mean, now construction cost is low, so when you come back and we do the same thing, would our price go up?
We're planning on bringing this back to you
when?
At the end of this month.
Well, that's what I'm trying to make sure that we don't, you know...
We're back on the agenda the 23rd. If you don't want to vote on it, then fine, but I'll send you a memo that addresses the questions you've got, and then you can...
My question is, the construction cost is low. The cost would not go up before we come back to the council.
Specifically, Mr. Atkins, the bid that you have doesn't expire prior to the end of this month.
I don't know. I haven't seen the contract.
That's what I'm asking. That's going to be the litmus test.
That is correct.
Okay. That's what I mean. Thank you. Do you want to withdraw a motion or?
We'll hold it, to the 23rd.
Okay. If consensus says we'll just go ahead and hold this until 23rd, we'll come back to the 23rd. Appreciate it. Thank you very much. Madam Secretary, our next item. That should be item 39.
Item number 59 is the zoning.
39.
Thank you. Item number 39 is authorized acquisition, including the exercise of the right of eminent domain, if such becomes necessary, of 25 properties in the Cadillac Heights neighborhood located near the intersection of Cedar Crest and Peace Boulevard to be used for future city facilities. Councilmember Newman.
Mr. Newman, please.
Very supportive of this. This is an important part of our outreach of our flood control and that sort of thing in the Cadillac Heights area. My question for the staff is, what is it that we're anticipating to use this area for future city facilities? I don't know if that's to Ryan or to Teresa. You got up there with the big book, so.
I'll give it a shot.
What future city facilities are we anticipating?
That hasn't been determined yet. I know there are a number of needs that are currently being looked at. Parks needs another service facility, the water department. Also, we've looked for a field office for code. So a number of things that are still being contemplated, but I don't know that the decision has been made at this point.
Police academy and gun range also?
That hasn't been...
talked about.
Yes. I don't think that's been ruled out completely, but I don't believe that's our first priority.
Okay. All right, I just wanted to hear some of what the other options are as future city facilities. Thank you, Mayor. Move approval.
It's been moved in.
Seconded.
Ms. Davis, please.
I want to, Ron, now the people in Cadillac Heights, was we supposed to do some type of spark station facility there? Education training facility?
Actually, it's a facility that Mr. Newman mentioned. It was a potential police academy.
Okay.
Right now, it's a rented facility down at the Redbird Industrial Park.
Okay, so that would not be there on this site at this time?
It has not been determined, but it might be over time.
Okay, so when will we know what will be on this particular site?
Well, right now, we're in just the process of the land acquisition. And when that's completed, we will present options to this council.
Okay, and what are some of those options?
The ones that Teresa mentioned, we have a parks maintenance facility that we need, the potential police academy, water hazard maintenance facility that they need. We may at some point in time relocate the central facility that's over on Canton Street because that's a very valuable piece of real estate that might be redeveloped in Deep Ellum over time. There are a number of opportunities.
And for each of those facilities, there's other options where they may go within the city.
That's correct.
Thank you, Ms. Davis. Mr. Chairman, please.
Thank you, Mayor and Ryan. And respectfully, this is in Ms. Davis's district and Ms. Madrona's district. But it borders the line of my entire district. Okay, let me be real clear. And I don't know, and I should be bought into these discussions when it's at Keith at Cedar Crest. Okay, because just two or three blocks becomes the entire District 4. Entire District 4. Okay, and we may not want a facility there. We may not, I mean, I need to be able to speak and know what types of facilities that are going to impact that entire community. The community, I have 267 churches in my district. That's how large I'm talking about. I'm not talking about 25 or 30 homes that we're buying out. There's been a lot of stuff going. I'm dealing with this Oak Cliff Metal mess that's going on right now currently on that street that's impacting that entire community. Now, Ms. Davis has as much skin in the game as I do because we got the Mark Cuban stuff and on the opposite side of the street. But that entire area ought to be talked about because it impacts South Oak Cliff. I'm not caring about 25 or 30 homes over there. I'm talking about the entire area that's impacted by these decisions and that are not brought to the table when we're talking about what's going to take place, what type of facility may go there. We may not want it, but we're not having a voice. Now, I'm a little warm about this because it's supposed to be, what I would need to have is a briefing about the police academy that voters and everyone were expecting to have, but it sounds like it's going to be some changes or some possible changes. These houses that we're buying out now, we didn't just start buying these houses out. How many people have we already bought out in Cadillac Heights? Hello, somebody.
Wore the wrong shoes. In phase one, we purchased 93. We still have 10 to go. And phase two has 207. We've been authorized to acquire 70 so far.
So half of it is, we're halfway gone. More than halfway. So what was once Cadillac Heights, a neighborhood, now is more than 50% vacant. Am I correct?
Yes, sir.
So, you know, we don't have homeowners there, and then those that are still there are still being bought out.
Yes, sir.
So eventually, what is going to take place is that it's going to be just land there with no people, and the people that are still staying there in the neighborhood ought to have something to say about what they're going to be living around because the other people are gone. Am I right about that?
Yes, sir.
Okay. That is the point that I'm just trying to make, that I want to at least be apprised of the things and the plans that are taking place in that area, respectfully. When you come across that bridge, 90% of everything over there belongs to me. And I ought to have a say.
Let me say this. It's that we must first purchase the land. We can't do anything until we purchase the land. And I think once we purchase the land, I think since it's in 7 and Sherwood 2, and Ms. Caraway is a part of 4, then we need to sit down and decide what we think is best for that tract of land. Now, I agree that we got a whole lot of new development coming into that area. It might be we put a city fitness center there. You know, we might do a city fitness center with a Starbucks or something. That's a part of it. So we got to acquire the land, Mr. Caraway. So I'm thinking that's what they're trying to do, is to acquire the land. And then let you and I, Ms. Medrano, give them some ideas that we can give to Ryan. And I work with Ryan with my other project out in East Dallas. And so let's talk about a fitness center. If that community wants to see a fitness center with Starbucks inside, I think we need to give them that. If they want to see some other things, We need to give them that. But we got to give them some options, take it to Ron. Then we can give him a number of options. Then let him come back and tell us what we think the city can do. And then we have some meetings around the neighborhood. But I have to say we have to get the land under control first at this point to be able to move forward. Now, since the city owns, as you said, Mr. Kelway, at least 60% of the land, 75% of the land at this point, and if the community that you share, that I share, and Ms. Madrano share, if that community comes back and says, well, we don't think we want a police station there or none of those things, then we need to have some other option on the table to give them. Thank you.
And Ms. Davis, I think you appropriately showed that there's two different decisions. One is acquiring the property, and the initial genesis of that was some of the flood issues, some of the environmental issues that were in that. The decision was made years and years ago that it was best to acquire that land. And the second piece, which I think, Ryan, if I'm right, the wording in the bond program that authorized the purchase of this project, or these properties, excuse me, was for any municipal use.
That's right.
So the second decision then becomes, what do we do with it once it's available? And that's a balance between needs of the community, needs of the city, and available resources. And those available resources aren't going to be in place until we go through another bond program. So there's a number of steps that we're going to have to go through to get to that point. Ms. Madrano, please.
Thank you, Mayor, and that's exactly what I was going to say. This is in my district, and I know that it is bounded by two other districts. I think the important issue is to definitely acquire all the property in Cadillac Heights. When I first got elected, I know that Mr. Nijinsky, Ms. Coop, and Ms. Hunt toured the area with me, and I think they were appalled about the conditions that the area was in. I invite all of you to go into the area. I have pictures of it in June of 2005. It looks totally different. I am there on a weekly basis, both in the morning and at night. I meet with the patrol officers that are in the area. I meet regularly with Chief Scott. So I know what's in the area, and I do believe that, first of all, we have to acquire that. And you're right, Mayor, regarding the bond, that specific language does say for future city facilities. So in that respect, I think that I'm on top of the police issues, the patrolling issues, the people that currently reside in the area. I am in constant contact with them and with police officers that patrol the area, and with the city properties that either have or have not been maintained. I am in contact with code on a weekly basis. So thank you very much.
Absolutely. Thank you. And thanks for your work on that. Mr. Kelly, please.
Yeah, and Mayor, let me just say respectfully that, and I'm speaking just about the area, because I probably need to take some more medicine today, because let me tell you, this is pretty rough here. In the area, and I invite us to take a tour, and I'm not trying to put the area down, but as we concentrate on Cadillac Heights, you know, Cadillac Heights, it's there, and it borders a street, Cedar Crest. But nothing is being said about, as we talk about the contamination, and we talk about the detriment of how things are happening down in Cadillac Heights. But what about the people on the other side of Cedar Crest? Did the contamination just stop right there at the street and say, well, we're not going to cross the street? Contamination is not going to go across the other side of the street to the other neighborhood. And I have to speak up for the people in that entire community. Did the stuff that's floating up in the air, did it say, whoops, here's Cedar Crest, let me just stop here and not cross the street and contaminate the other side of the street and the other area there? And when I talk about it, I'm talking about what's affecting the entire area. That raggedy FEMA station that's on Cedar Crest, those prostitutes that was out there last night as I was driving home, they're standing on the bus stop acting like the bus is coming, and the bus ain't even running that time of night.
The guy that got killed right there at the club right there at Cedar Crest. The graffiti that's at the foot of the bridge right there. We have issues. And I want you to know my issues and our issues are going to be heard. It is not all well there. Period. Case in point. I want folks to understand that we got to look out for the entire enchilada, the whole potato, the whole thing, and not just a thing. And when we did this deal for the Cadillac Heights, the community was told that it was going to be a police substation there. That's what they bought into, was the police substation, not just a city facility. They bought into the fact that it was a police substation, and they say, well, this is going to be something because that'll kind of make us safer. That's what they bought into, Mayor. That's what they bought into, Ryan. Mayor, they bought into that. Not just a city facility. They bought into a police station in Cadillac Heights. That's why this money was spent, was because we were buying out people so we could bring a police substation to Cadillac Heights. Now, if I'm wrong, somebody just needs to tell me. But that's what the folks bought into. We should honor what we're saying. So I'm not stepping on. It's not my intent, Ms. Madrona and Ms. Davis, to impede on you all's districts respectfully. Huh? The what?
The first phase of this project stands right now is the police system.
Okay, good. Now, as we say, you know, I just want to make sure that folks understand that I want to broaden out this whole thing and understand that just doing ones and twos over here, it's not going to work for me. Now, that's for me. I'm going to represent and I'm going to speak up. My people got to go home. And we got to pass through all this trying to get home. There's no economic development. There's nothing but crime through that area. There's no opportunities. And there's raggedy stations that need to be torn down today. Prince, go over there and check the FEMA station. Take a picture of it and tell me if it'll fit on Preston and Inwood. They wouldn't stand for it, not 15 seconds. But we've been living with it. And I got to sit here and act like it doesn't exist. It won't be in Kessler Park. It won't be anywhere. It won't be over by White Rock. But it's over there. I just simply want something done about these things. I do. And yeah, I'm passionate about it because my people elected me to be passionate and to get some things done and to speak up on them when they're not right. And we're not going to continue to just live like folks want us to just live and just hold our mouths and don't say nothing. That's what this platform is for, and that's why I'm sitting here. And I want to just see some things done. And I want to have a voice while they're being done and being proposed.
Ms. Newman, please.
Mayor, I made the motion to approve, and my original inquiry was about city facilities. I visited with Jill Jordan and Teresa O'Donnell, and I'm going to ask the staff to brief the Trinity Committee on the Cadillac Heights area and so forth. Some little bit of its history of where what the origin, where what the original plan was, and on a going forward basis. I don't know if we'll make it for the Trinity Committee later in June or if it'll have to be August, but it'll be on a future Trinity River Corridor Project Committee.
Thank you. Ms. Davis, please.
Thank you, Mayor. I think one of the things that we have to address in areas like Cadillac Heights and other areas, which I have the avenues, I have a small portion of Cadillac, the biggest portion of it is in Ms. Madrona's district, all the way down to Bonneville. We have to look at developers who want to come into that area and develop. Now, properties that is a nuisance in that area, I agree, Ms. Caraway, we need to take a look at those properties, and the city needs to put some of that stuff on the demolition list that needs to move forward. And I'd rather just see the vacant land until we come up with future development. But the problem has always been in our district, we got to find developers who want to step up to the table and help develop an area like the area in which we have. Now, sometimes we bring developers into our neighborhood, then people feel that we're doing eminent domain, and sometimes they're doing the good of the neighborhood. So I just think we need to tour. We need to identify, Ms. Madrona, you and myself, need to identify what's working and what's not working in that area. I did not know that that was a recycling cycle behind the gas station until I saw the pile a year ago. So, I mean, it's an issue. I have gotten calls and about it. So I just think that you, Ms. Madrona, and I just need to tour the area. Ms. Madrona, can you have some time that we can tour the area with Mr. Caraway? And we can just kind of sit down and look at it and just kind of talk about where do we go from here. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you very much. Ms. McGraw, please.
Thank you. And on the old FINA station at 3200 Crest and Childs, I know it well. I have reported it over 10 times. And so I look forward. I do see some progress, at least. The trash has been picked up from that. I had reported the two gray city trash bins to get the trash picked up, and it took a little over 3 weeks. But I have been notified this week that it has been picked up, both trash bins. So I look forward to hearing from Code regarding this gas station. It's old, it's closed down, and the high weeds behind it. So thank you.
Thank you very much. It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, so ordered. Madam Secretary, 55, please.
Item number 55 is consideration of appointments to boards and commissions. You have for your consideration an individual appointment to the Board of Adjustment, Johnny Goins, by Councilmember Atkins.
Mr. Atkins, please.
Yes, I nominate Johnny Goins to serve as individual appointee to the Board of Adjustment during her required background check. I learned she had some attendance issues in her previous board service, which the City Secretary often informed me on according with Chapter 8 of the Dallas City Code. Because I believe she would be a committed member of the Board of Adjustment, I move approval of her appointment.
Hey, it's been moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Any opposed, so ordered. And Secretary, 56, which was corrected on the addendum.
Item number 56 is authorized supplemental agreement number 1 to the professional services contract with the law firm of Monk Carter, LLP, for additional legal services necessary in the lawsuit styled Yin Yin versus City of Dallas et al.
It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, so ordered. Madam Secretary, 57, please.
Item number 57 is authorized an increase in the over 65 and disabled persons homestead property tax exemption from $64,000 to $70,000, beginning with the 2010 tax year.
Mr. Atkins, please.
Yes, Mr. Chippenfield, please.
Mayor, I defer this item, and before I speak, last year when we had our budget, I went around to all those seniors and said that back in 1986 we was going to try to increase exemption $6,000 per year. Last year when we deferred this, how much money did we save in our general fund to the taxpayer when we deferred this last year?
It's about $2.6
million. $2.6
million.
And if we defer it this year, how much money would we save?
It's about the same, $2.6.
$2.6 million. And the reason why I'm going to ask for the motion, I'm going to put a motion to defer this to September. And the reason why, that I have a whole lot of seniors in my district, and I got plenty of emails, and they said, if we vote on this today, why do not we let them know during our town hall meeting when they all would be public informed what we're trying to do. So this is not going to hurt us today to defer in September.
Yes.
I think it's right for the public to know, and the seniors would know, that this is what we're trying to do is a balanced budget.
Okay.
So I put it out there that we shouldn't.
I need for you to know one thing. If we delay past July 1st, this cannot be applicable till January of 12. Okay? So you have to vote in July
before the year it becomes applicable, or before July 1st. Now, you can still have a vote in September when you have more information and more knowledge about it, but it will delay its application until January of 12.
Well, I still want to defer it because I'm just not comfortable. You know, my point is that I got too many seniors, you know, when you defer something and they do not have public input, they're not transferring them. We're doing something that 70% of my voters said, hey, we need to defer it.
Just put in the form of a motion. We have a second.
Is it motion?
Second. Second. Thank you. Ms. Davis, please.
I have a question, Mary, on this. The increase is from $64,000 to $70,000. Why is there a need for an increase?
Council, a couple of years ago, asked us to look at that. It's an increase in the exemption to relieve some of the tax burden on people on fixed incomes. It's a pretty high exemption right now if you look around the state, though.
Okay. Now, you said, which council? Is this the last council, the council before?
We've been talking about it. It's this council specifically, but several councils have been talking about it.
Oh, okay. Okay, then. Okay. So there are some council members suggested that we increase it to $64,000 to $70,000.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Allen, please.
Are we talking about deferring it till September?
Yeah, I think in the context of our budget.
I want to come back, but I do have a clarification.
Let me finish with Mr. Allen.
I got a clarification.
Yeah.
Can I hear his clarification?
Yeah, I think we're going to be until the end of September, so it fits in with the budget.
This is my problem. Mary, you had a point, Mary, that it's this island is kind of complex. If we defer, that means in September, the senior would never get a benefit in this period.
Right.
That's correct. So we actually defer. So my dilemma is that we got an item that's up today. We got to vote up that. If we voted for yes, then we're going to cost the taxpayer the budget $2.6 million.
No, if you voted today, you will cost the budget $2.6 million.
Because the budget $2.9 million.
Yes.
If we vote today.
Right.
If we don't vote today, we automatically defer into 2012.
Right.
So that's a very, very short window for something to come to this council would not have the input on the citizens. You know, to kind of put me in a bad position with my residents in the city because they did not have time to respond what we're trying to do on this year's budget. So I think today that I'm going to just vote it. I want to give it to the seniors, but then too, you can vote it down. I don't care. But the point is that if I defer it, I'm really deferring to 2012, and that's the problem. And Mary said that we got to vote it today because it affects this budget for this year, right, Mary?
Well, you can defer it if you want.
But would you defer it? Would you actually defer it to 2012?
Yes. Yes.
So therefore, the public would not have input. So all that I could do is defer it to June the 23rd to the next meeting, and I go back and have my opinion to say they wanted it done. So I want to change my motion and defer to June 23rd, and hopefully I get the seniors and make sure they do know what is the vote is coming to. So my motion is deferred to June 23rd, so I have my time to talk to my seniors.
Motion withdrawn. Ms. Davis, are you okay with that?
Yeah.
Okay.
So the 23rd.
Now, who pays for the dinner on the
23rd? I do. June 23rd.
Think you can have one.
I pay for the dinner, June 23rd.
Dinner in the midnight.
We'll be at midnight, so we got a long day on June 23rd. We're going to old city council business.
Thank you, Mayor.
Mr. Allen, I'm sorry, please.
when it comes to the seniors, there's never enough money to go around. unfortunately. And this is so tough right now with asking for this and then being already $130 million in the hole, and this is $2.6 million. So it's a tough situation. I think it equates to in the neighborhood of 12 cents a day is what it equates to, 12 cents a day. More important, though, in that, and one thing I want my colleagues to be realized is that under key focus area, clean, healthy environment, if you have a chance, look at line item number 34. Line item number 34, it's for $122,000 for senior medical transportation services. What's so important, and it's below the line, what's so important about that is that that's a matching grant from the Freedom Transportation, and that I think it's $650,000 if we don't match with our money, we potentially could lose. So these monies, these dollars are so precious that we have to really watch what our hearts would like to do, but at the end of the day, what our minds tell us that we probably should do, because just to be smart to make sure we take the best care of our seniors. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Allen. Mr. Atkins, please.
My turn?
Mr. Thomas.
To me, I mean, it just would make more sense is that, you know, if I understand your reluctance to not allow the seniors to have this benefit that we had committed to them, and this will be the second year if we were to defer it again, that's a total of $5.2 million. I mean, I don't have a problem not doing it, but if we made a commitment to give them $5.2 million in senior services in the budget, whichever way we balance it, but we increase that amount to $5.2 million, you know, I think if seniors are, and we made a commitment in the past, and the mayor, you did it, I did it, everybody on this council, Ms. Margolin may be the only one who wasn't here to make that commitment at the time when we did these budgets. But what I'm hearing is we want to keep the $2.6 million. What I'm not hearing is that are you going to put it back to the seniors so that they can go back to their constituents, our commission. We have a commission. So they go back to their constituents and say, these are the services that the council is going to provide you now. If they're not going to give you the benefit of the exemption for your home, we're going to give you in the budget these other line items to assist you in the services that you need. So there's got to be a trade-off, because otherwise we give our word and the citizens will say your word doesn't mean anything because you don't do it. And in business, your word is very important. The our customers are the citizens of Dallas. The seniors of Dallas in this situation were given the word by the council that we would continue the exemption, to raise the exemption by $6,000. Last year we said, well, we're not going to do it this year because we'll do it next year. And next year we'll bite the bullet. We've been biting this bullet so many years now that there's no more bullet. You know, something happened to that bullet, because every year we're still going to bite the bullet. If you're going to say something, do it. Now, we're going to defer to the 23rd. I don't have a problem doing that. But on the 23rd, it's going to come back to us again. Are we going to honor our word? Or are we going to go back on our word? So that's what it's coming down to.
Mr. Newman, please.
Thank you, Mayor. And I appreciate that, Mr. Salazar. Indeed, part of our responsibility to our seniors and that commitment to seniors is also, and I think more paramount, is to run a fiscally sound city. And a fiscally sound city is about matching revenues and expenses. And when we have a shortfall in revenues, which we do with property values and with sales tax shortfalls, part of our responsibility is to first and foremost tighten our belts. And so last year when I made the motion to postpone or to defer this a year, it was because we needed that to make that fiscally sound decision. As painful as it is for me, we're in the same boat this year. I don't think that we can afford this additional tax relief for our seniors as much as I would want to, because of paramount is running a fiscally sound city. So I'll support the motion to go to the 23rd for Mr. Adkins, but I still am very concerned about how we're going to narrow the gap, the $110 million gap that we have. And part of my responsibility between now and the end of September is to communicate not with just our seniors, but with all the citizens in my respective district about how we close that gap. But our responsibility, first and foremost, is a fiscally sound city. Thank you. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Newman. Mr. Jasinski, please.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. You know, I think everybody around this horseshoe would like to find as much money as they could for the seniors and for the parks and for the libraries and all the other things that we're going to be have to be making very tough decisions on. There's obviously not enough money to keep doing what we've been doing. I guess I'm not sure what delaying this for 2 weeks to the 23rd is going to accomplish. I have respect for Mr. Adkins wanting to hear from his constituents and then vote accordingly, but if we have to make a decision by July 1st as to whether we're going to do this or not do this, we have pared the budget, I believe, roughly down to somewhere about an $80 million shortfall if everything falls into place. And then if we do this, we're then going to be looking at another $2.6 million that we've got to then go out and find. You know, from my perspective, there are an awful lot of things, no disrespect to anybody who's a senior, because I can say I am one. And, you know, so when I'm making this decision, it's affecting me too. But at the same time, there are a lot of things that I think are higher on the priority. We're going to have to be making some tough decisions. To make a decision today or on the 23rd that we're going to have to go out and find another $2.6 million to do our parks and our libraries and our firemen and our policemen and all the other things that we want to do for the city, I just don't think is going to be, you know, it's not the right time. As to the comment about that we made a commitment, I guess my recollection is a little bit different. What we said was we could not afford it last year and that we would look at it in future years. We are in a worse position this year than what we were last year. So if we made the decision last year that we can't afford this, I find it somewhat bewildering that we believe that there's going to be some way that we can do it this year. We are going to turn the corner on the economy. Things are going to come back, and there will be the right time when we can make this decision to either do it on this amount of money, instead of $6,000, maybe it's $12,000 if we have a real good, prosperous year. There's ways that we can deal with this, but right now, I'm not in favor of doing it now, and I'm not sure, unless someone can explain to me what will change over the next 2 weeks. I mean, Mary, unless you have plans to wipe out the $80 million in the next 2 weeks, I might change my mind. I'll keep my mind open, and I'm going to cross my fingers. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Let's try to wrap it up. We've got about a half an hour for about six more items. Mr. Atkins?
Yes, Mayor. Ron, you know, I have been elected in this race for the last two terms. About 65% of people who vote for me are seniors, so I represent those seniors. And I got to speak for my district, and that's what I'm speaking for, my district and those seniors. And I think $2.6 million plus $2.6 million, it might be another $2.6 million in the future. Would that be $7 million I'm taking for the seniors? They should have the right. Some of those seniors cannot be here today, but some of the seniors not listen to this. We need to do a PSA so they do know what we voting for, and that trust fund. And we got to do that, and I'm going to do whatever I need to make sure that my residents know what we voting on. $2.6 million is a whole lot of money, but they should know what we voting on. And I got to get that word out. If I had to go door-to-door or email or mail everybody out and let them know what we vote on, those seniors need to know what we vote on. It'll affect those seniors. And those are the voters. I mean, those are the taxpayers. And those who pay the property tax and pay the sales tax, they should know what we voting on. $2.6 million, Jim? Yes. Plus $2.6 million, that's $5 million. And we might delay it next year.
which that'd be 70. But they should know what we voting on. And to wait 2 weeks for $5 million, that's not too much to ask for. 2 weeks, vote up or down, that's all I ask my colleagues. Just give me 2 weeks. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Allen, please.
I don't have a problem 2 weeks, waiting 2 weeks. As we do that, I don't have a problem with it. Again, you're right. It is $2.6 million for the entire city of Dallas. It equates to $45 per year for that senior. $45 per year, 12 cents a day. So I don't know if it's going to change your lifestyle. Where I'm going with that, excuse me very much, where I'm going with that, though, it's so important that we can spend $2.6 million for giving somebody 45 bucks off. I'm not going to change your lifestyle. I just mentioned the fact that we got an item for $122,000 potentially that we're going to lose $650,000, and it's going to be real hard to fit that in, that item in, if we do the exemption this time. My deal is I'd rather make sure that we get the seniors everything we can and utilize that money. So that's all I'm after, is that if you spend $2.6 million to give somebody 45 bucks, or do you sit here and spend this money for, this is for transportation, giving seniors transportation to their medical facilities. So anyway, I certainly don't have a problem if you allow the time to go around to your district, talk with your seniors and see if they want the 45 bucks or do they want to save and do some other things. So I'm with you.
Thank you. It's been moved and seconded to defer this to June 23rd. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Any opposed, so ordered. Madam Secretary, 58, please.
Item number 58 is authorize a professional services contract with Perkins and Will for schematic design through construction administration services for a pavilion replacement at Fair Oaks Park, located at 7600 Fair Oaks Avenue. Councilmember Margolin.
Thank you. I had postponed this last time to further consider whether it makes sense to add a new pavilion to the city's maintenance cost at this time. After discussing it with the park department, we decided to go ahead with the design, and that's what this is to pay for. So I move approval of item 58.
It's been moved and seconded. Any other discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye. Any opposed, so ordered. Madam Secretary, let's jump over to the addendum then. Begin with item number one. Mr. Atkins has a conflict of interest on that. He's excused himself from the chamber. The record will show. If you'll read that in the record.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Addendum item number one is an ordinance authorizing the issuance and sale of waterworks and sewer system revenue refunding bonds, Series 2010, in an amount not to exceed $450 million, establishing parameters regarding the sale of the bonds, approving the execution of the bond purchase agreement, and all other matters related thereto.
So moved.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, so ordered. Madam Secretary, item number two on the agenda.
Addendum item number two is authorize number one, a 5-year horticulture services nursery contract with 1 5-year renewal option with Southwest Perennials, Inc. for the period June 1, 2010 through May 31st, 2015 to operate the greenhouse facility in Crawford Park located at 8740 Elam Road. And number two, the receipt and deposit of funds from Southwest Perennials, Inc. for reimbursement of greenhouse utility charges.
It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Excuse me, Councilmember Margolin pulled the item.
Did you want to make it, Ms. Margolin?
Yeah, I have pulled the
item.
Yeah,
just let me know.
Okay. I have a question for someone from the Park Department. Is there somebody here? Mr. Dyer? My question was simply, is this a fixed contract to purchase $45,000 worth of flowers? Or is it in some way negotiable over the next year? Or are we committing ourselves to that?
This contract provides as a bid and a reimbursement to us for the utilization of this greenhouse, $45,000 worth of material and or cash as we see fit. The material comes in a wholesale value, so the value of the material that we use for the Central Business District and planting material is $90,000 for the plant material. But at the end of the year, if we don't utilize that entire $45,000 budget, then we will receive the balance in cash.
Okay, and we're trading the use of our
facilities for flowers? Is that correct. Essentially what it is?
That was the bid that we received. We used to produce our own flowers for the park system. That became not economically feasible anymore, so we closed the greenhouses and put it out for bid, and this is the only bid we received.
Okay. All right. The motion's been made. Thank you.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded then. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? So ordered. Madam Secretary, item number four, please.
Addendum item number four is a resolution authorizing the conveyance of approximately 6,362 square feet of land to the City of University Park, located near the intersection of Lover's Lane and U.S. Highway 75, in exchange for approximately 7,497 square feet of land located near the intersection of Wakulla Street and Mockingbird Lane from the City of University Park. Councilmember Margolin.
Yes, I pulled this because it's something I wanted to tell you about. I'm very excited about it. I have been working on this virtually since the day I came on the council last year. It's a swap of land between University Park and the City of Dallas. The City of Dallas owns a piece of land on the service road of Central Expressway and Lover's Lane, the northwest corner. It's currently overgrown and filled with trash and is used for storage of TxDOT equipment. The city owns it, and the Caruth neighborhood, which is right back there, consisting of people who live in both Dallas and University Park, the area straddles, the neighborhood straddles the two municipalities, came to me and asked if there was a way that they could find funds to plant a garden there as a gateway into their neighborhood. And so we had to find a way to get the property. The City of University Park said that if the neighborhood plants the property, they will maintain it, but only if they own it. And so we found a piece of property within the city that's actually owned by University Park. It's in District 14, and I know Ms. Hunt is well aware of it also. And so we have done this exchange. This is going to be a beautiful gateway park, a gateway garden into the Caruth neighborhood. So in 3 months or 6 months, as you're driving on the service road of Central and Lover's Lane, take a look and see what's become of this eyesore, because it's going to become a great asset to the city. So I move approval.
With enthusiasm.
Oh, and I have to recognize David Wright. Please stand. David is probably the person who had the most to do with pulling this off. He's a University Park resident. We welcome here. Welcome you here at the Dallas City Council.
Thank you. Is that please?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, and I second your motion. And this is exciting, and I appreciate your hard work on this. I know when you first got on the council, I remember you calling me and telling me what you were working on, and it's very exciting, not only for the residents in your district in University Park, but also for the residents of District 14, because part of this will help us complete our Katy Trail extension, and I think that's going to be a tremendous asset to the City of Dallas, connecting our Katy Trail all the way to White Rock Lake. Ms. Margolin, thank you for your work on it, and I'm pleased that we get to sign off on this today.
Terrific. It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? So ordered. Madam Secretary, item number five, please.
Addendum item number five is an ordinance granting an amendment to and expansion of Plan Development District Number 741 for mixed uses on property zoned Plan Development District Number 741, Plan Development District Number 387, and an AA Agricultural District with SUP Number 3 for a power plant on a portion of the property, and with SUP Number 517 for commercial radio transmitting station and towers on a portion of the property north of Hackberry Road, east of Beltline Road.
Ms. Salazar, please.
Thank you, Mayor. The request of the applicant amounts to defer this item until the June 23rd agenda.
It's been deferred to June 23rd. There was a second.
Yes, second.
All those in favor signify by saying aye. Any opposed? It's so ordered. It is now 11:04. On June 9th of 2010, the City Council will now go into closed session under Section 551.071 of the Open Meetings Act to receive advice from and consult with the City Attorney on the following matter: legal issues involving a proposed local option election on the sale of alcoholic beverages under the election code. What we'll do is we're going to go into executive session now right away in the back room. We'll go right till 11:30, then we'll leave at 11:30 for the Trinity and the Bridge, and then we'll get back as soon as we can. So I anticipate, hopefully we'll be back in session in the 1:15 time frame. That's dependent on finishing the executive session by the time 11:30 rolls around. We're in recess. Thank you. Welcome to our afternoon session. On the consent agenda, there are there's one item that we'll consider individually. That's item number 61, and that's at the request of Ms. Medrano. Madam Secretary, would you see if there's any speakers in regard to any of the consent items? So that'll be 59, 60, 62, and 63. And then we'll go ahead and proceed. So if you'll read it into the record, and any speakers.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. On your zoning cases consent agenda, item number 59 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting an amendment to and expansion of specific use permit number 1496 for an open enrollment charter school on property zoned in Industrial Research District, and an ordinance terminating specific use permit number 1384 for an open enrollment charter school on the expansion portion of the request site, and a resolution terminating existing deed restrictions on a portion of the site on Joseph Harden Drive and Exchange Service Drive. Item number 60 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting a specific use permit for an enrollment charter school on property zoned in R-7.5A single family district at the southwest corner of Cyan Road and Pritchard Lane.
We'll take speakers and I'll grab you on a motion.
Item number 62 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting an amendment to an expansion of sub-area number 2 within Plan Development District number 366, the Buckner Special Purpose District, on property zoned in R-7.5A single family district on the north side of Rosemont Road, approximately 280 feet west of South Buckner Boulevard. Item number 63 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting an amendment to specific use permit number 1639 for a tower antenna for cellular communication on property zoned Plan Development District number 317, northeast of intersection of Alexander Street and Cockrell Avenue. Are there individuals in the audience that would like to speak on the items that were just read into the record in opposition of the CPC recommendation to approve? Any speakers in favor? We do have one individual that signed up, a writer, Scott. Mr. Scott, if you will please come up, state your name and address for the record. You will be allowed 3 minutes to speak. And please state whether you're in favor or in opposition of the and what item on the agenda. Thank you.
Writer Scott, 2705 Foxborough, Garland. I'm here as a resource witness only. If there are any questions to be raised, I am in favor of the item on number 59 during before the council.
Okay, Mr. Scott, I'm sorry, we can barely hear you.
Yes, ma'am.
Can you repeat?
Yes, ma'am. My name is Ryder Scott, 2705 Foxborough, Garland, Texas. I'm here on item number 59. I'm in favor of that. I'm here primarily as a resource witness. Were there any questions?
Thank you. Are there any other speakers that would like to speak on the items that we just read into the record? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Mayor, I move approval of the consent agenda.
Thank you. It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Any opposed? Order. Madam Secretary, if you would read 61 into the record, that'll require a three-quarters vote.
Item number 61 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting an amendment to and renewal of specific use permit number 1700 for a bar, lounge, or tavern and an inside commercial amusement limited to a Class A dance hall on property within the Tract A portion of Plan Development District number 269.
Mr. Mayor, we sent 21 notices to property owners with 200 feet of their request. We received one reply in favor and 7 replies in opposition. To the opposition, if owners more than 20% of the land within 200 feet will require a 3/4 vote.
Thank you.
Are there any individuals in the audience that that would like to speak in opposition of the CPC recommendation to approve the item? Any speakers in opposition? Any speakers in favor of the CPC recommendation to approve the item?
Ms. McDonald, please.
Thank you, Mayor. I would like to hold this item under advisement, and I'd like to move to hold it until everyone, can anyone guess the date? To June 23rd, 2010, with the public hearing held open.
What will be there? What will there be left to do in August?
Oh, no.
I'm focusing more on breakfast. Yeah. It's been moved and seconded to table this and hold it until June 23rd. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Any opposed, so ordered. Madam Secretary, can we go to 64, please?
Item number 64 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting a specific use permit for gas drilling and production on property zoned in A Agricultural District and specific use permit number 517 for a commercial radio station and transmitting towers on the south line of Sanders Loop east of Beltline Road.
Mr. Mayor, we sent 14 notices to property owners with 1,000 feet of their request. We received one reply in favor and one reply in opposition.
Thank you.
Are there any individuals in the audience that would like to speak in opposition of the CPC recommendation to approve? Any speakers that would like to speak in favor of the CPC recommendation to approve? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Ms. Salazar, please.
Thank you, Mayor. Move to close the public hearing and
approve the item as recommended by CPC.
Second.
It's been moved to second. Thank you. All those in favor signify by saying aye. CPC recommendation. CPC recommendation. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Any opposed to order? 65 was deleted on the addendum. That leaves us to 66.
Item number 66 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting an amendment to Plan Development District Number 202 for certain non-residential uses on the east line of Preston Road, north of Crownover Court.
Mr. Mayor, we sent 104 notices to property owners from 500 feet of their request, received 12 replies in favor and 7 replies in opposition.
Are there any individuals that would like to speak in opposition of the CPC recommendation to approve the item? Any speakers in opposition? Any speakers in favor of the CPC recommendation to approve? If you'll please step forward, state your name and address for the record, you will be allowed 3 minutes to speak. Oh. No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Mayor. Mr. Ntuki.
In keeping with the tradition of the day, I'm going to move to keep the public hearing open on this until the 23rd. Staff still has not completed the paperwork, and they've got to get with the applicant on it. So,
can we do a substitute motion right now?
Yeah, you can try.
Begrudgingly seconded by Mr.
Right. I do promise it will be quick on the 23rd, okay?
All those in favor signify by saying aye. Any opposed, so ordered. Item 67, this will require 2 seconds, and by both the motion and the second, certify additional work has been done beyond the materials included in our packets.
Item number 67 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting a planned development district for a general merchandise or food store greater than 100,000 square feet in CR Community Retail District uses on property zoned in CR Community Retail District on the southwest line of Webb Chapel Road, north of Northwest Highway.
Mr. Mayor, we sent 70 notices to property owners within 500 feet of their request. We received 14 replies in favor and 3 replies in opposition.
Are there any individuals in the audience that would like to speak in opposition of the CPC recommendation to approve?
Come on down.
Please step forward. You state your name and address for the record. You will be allowed 3 minutes to speak.
My name is Juan, and I live on that Webb Chapel extension deal. I got property.
Why don't you go ahead and take the microphone and kind of put it as close
to you. My name is Juan Soto, and I live on that property that y'all are mentioning about Webb Chapel extension. I'm right there on that street. And I'm new at this. I wouldn't know what to do. Mr. Tom Leppard, would you want to see this, see what I should do to it?
David, can you or Teresa take a look and maybe you can assist? I'm not going to explain what's going to come on.
I've met you before. I've worked with you before, Mr. Leppert, for John Eagle.
Yeah, good. Yeah, give it to David. You didn't. That answered it?
That answered my question.
Terrific. Great. Thanks for being with us.
Are there any other individuals that would like to speak in opposition of the CPC recommendation to approve? Any speakers in favor of the CPC recommendation to approve the item? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Ms. Salazar, please.
Thank you, Mayor. I have spoken to the applicant and seen the site plan on this. It's actually going to be a Sam's Club that's coming to a property that's been vacant for quite some time now. Previously, there were apartments that were built during World War II that had to be torn down because of structural issues that the code inspection had over many years. I'm happy to say that Sam's Club is now coming to Northwest Highway and Webb Chapel. I have spoken to the adjacent property owner, and there's no opposition to this. There's no residential either next to it, and behind it is actually a green belt that's used by Luffield as one of their approaches for the smaller size planes. So I believe this is good for the neighborhood, and I will be moving to close the public hearing and approve the action as recommended by the CPC.
It's been moved and seconded, and Ms. Hill, Ms. Hosso, and Ms. Margolin. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed to order? Then Secretary 68, please.
Item number 68 is the benefit assessment hearing on sidewalk paving for sidewalk group 06-141. And at the close of the public hearing, authorize an ordinance levying benefit assessments and a construction contract with Estrada Concrete Company, LLC, lowest responsible bidder of 10. Are there any individuals in the audience that would like to speak on the item that was just read into the record? Any speakers on the item read into the record? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Can I get a motion on this one, 69?
Motion approved.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Any opposed to order? Madam Secretary, 70, please. 70.
Item 69, Mr. Mayor, or 70?
70. 70.
Item number 70 is a public hearing on the proposed fiscal year 2010-2011 consolidated plan budget for U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development grant funds and the proposed fiscal year 2009-2010 reprogramming budget. We do have one individual that signed up to speak, Brandon Reed. Brandon Reed. Not present. Are there any other individuals that would like to speak on the item that was just read into the record? Any speakers? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Motion on 70.
Second.
Moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Any opposed to order? Madam Secretary, 71.
Item number 71 is a public hearing on a proposed municipal setting designation to prohibit the use of groundwater as potable water beneath property owned by Behringer Harvard Plaza Skillman LP and an ordinance authorizing support of the issuance of a municipal setting designation to Behringer Harvard Plaza Skillman LP by the Texas Commission on Environmental Quality and prohibiting the use of groundwater beneath the designated property as potable water. State law requires that I read the following statement into the record. Pursuant to Section 51A-6.108G3 of the Dallas Development Code, the applicant or a licensed professional engineer or professional geoscientist who is familiar with the application must be present and available to answer the questions. Would that individual please come forward and identify yourself?
My name is Sam Johnson. I live at 3508 Sulzer Drive in Plano, Texas. I'm a licensed professional geoscientist who's familiar with this application.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Are there any individuals in the audience that would like to speak on the item that was just read into the record? Please state your name and address for the record. You will be allowed 3 minutes to speak.
I'm Susan Rainey, and I'm here representing Behringer Harbor Plaza Skillman LP, and I'm here to answer any questions you may have and ask for your support of the MSD.
Thank you. Any other speakers?
Are there any other speakers? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Allison.
Move to close public hearing and take the recommendation of staff for approval.
Thank you. Item number 72 is a public hearing on a proposed municipal setting designation to prohibit the use of groundwater as potable water beneath property owned by Brandtag Southwest Inc. and an ordinance authorizing support of the issuance of a municipal setting designation to Brandtag Southwest Inc. by the Texas Commission on Environmental Quality and prohibiting the use of groundwater beneath the designated property as potable water. Again, state law requires that I read the following statement into the record. Pursuant to Section 51A-6.108G3 of the Dallas Development Code, the applicant or a licensed professional engineer or professional geoscientist who is familiar with the application must be present and available to answer questions. Would that individual please step forward and state your name and address for the record?
Laurie Rodriguez, 27327 Ranch Creek, Barney, Texas, PG number 826.
Thank you. Are there any individuals in the audience who would like to speak on the item read into the record? Any speakers? No speakers, Mr. Mayor?
We may have one.
No,
nope.
Two
Mr. Allison, move to close the public hearing and accept the recommendation of staff for approval.
Second. Moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Any opposed to order? That's Secretary 73, please.
Item number 73 is a public hearing on a proposed municipal siting designation to prohibit the use of groundwater as potable water beneath property owned by LU12 Dallas Oaklawn 6 LP and an ordinance authorizing support of the issuance of a municipal siting designation to LU12 Dallas Oaklawn 6 LP by the Texas Commission on Environmental Quality and prohibiting the use of groundwater beneath the designated property as potable water. Again, I must read the following statement into the record. Pursuant to Section 51A-6.108G3 of the Dallas Development Code, the applicant or a licensed professional engineer or professional geoscientist who is familiar with the application must be present and available to answer questions. Sir, please state your name and address for the record.
I'm Roger Smith, 6433 Westgate Drive, North Richland Hills, and I'm a professional geoscientist.
Thank you, sir. Are there any individuals in the audience that would like to speak on the item that was just read into the record? Any speakers in the audience? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you very much. Ms. Madrano, please.
Thank you, Mayor, and I'd like to move to close the public hearing and move on item number 73, please.
Second. So it's approval. All those
approval,
in favor?
Please, yes.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Thanks.
Any opposed to order? 74, please.
Item number 74 is a public hearing on readopting and continuing in effect Chapter 12, City Youth Program Standards of Care of the Dallas City Code to reestablish standards of care for certain city-sponsored youth programs in compliance with state law and, at the close of the hearing, approval of an ordinance to readopt Chapter 12 of the Dallas City Code. Are there any individuals in the audience that would like to speak on the item that was read into the record? Any speakers? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Any opposed to order? Madam Secretary, item number 69, please. 69.
Item number 69 is a benefit assessment hearing on sidewalk paving for sidewalk group 06-142, and at the close of the hearing, authorize an ordinance levying benefit assessments and a construction contract with Estrada Concrete Company, LLC, the lowest responsible bidder of 7. Are there any individuals in the audience that would like to speak on the item? Any speakers? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Hall, please.
Move to close the public hearing and move for approval.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed or that completes our agenda. Our afternoon speakers, Madam Secretary.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. We're going to begin your afternoon speakers with Michael Bates, followed by Robert Kirkpatrick. I will first recite the speaker guidelines. Citizens and other visitors attending the meeting of the City Council shall observe the same rules of propriety, decorum, and good conduct applicable to members of the City Council. Any persons making personal, impertinent, profane, or slanderous remarks who become boisterous while addressing the City Council or while attending the City Council meeting shall be removed from the room if the Sergeant at Arms is so directed by the presiding officer, and the person shall be barred from further audience before the City Council during that session of the City Council. Individuals will be allowed 3 minutes to speak. Michael Bates. Please state your name and address for the record, sir.
My name is Michael Bates. I live at 2552 Wedgley Drive, Dallas, Texas. And in continuation with this morning's discussion about the Dallas Housing Authority's intent to change Cliff Manor into a supportive public housing for the mentally ill and chronic homeless, I'd just like to speak on behalf of the Wedgley Garden Home Owners Association. I am on the board there. This is my second home in Oak Cliff. I made Oak Cliff my home in 2003, recently sold, moved to District 3, and I'm a real estate professional and very involved in the community, and I have a passion for Oak Cliff. Moved here 12 years ago. I do on occasion ride the bus downtown into uptown, and I talk with everybody there. I also see the people, I'm referring to the people of Cliff Manor, who I consider my neighbors and equals, at stores and convenience stores and while we're getting gas in our cars. And several months ago, it was brought to my attention by multiple people that I see on a regular basis that their leases were not being renewed. And we have lived in harmony for years with these people at Cliff Manor, and they are welcomed in our community, and we are a part of their home, and they're a part of ours. And I don't understand why, at this moment in time, it baffles me why we are changing that formula, a successful formula, without, frankly, in my opinion, consulting with anybody at any of our neighborhoods. If you wanted to get in touch with anybody in Oak Cliff, all you have to do is go Google us. Oak Cliff Neighborhood Associations, it's very clear that we're out cleaning up medians and planting flowers and beautification projects, and we're very involved and very passionate. We love this area, and hopefully some of you have come to Bishop Arts and gotten to enjoy the area and the great changes that have happened there. We want to be good neighbors. I want to emphasize that on behalf of the people that spoke earlier. We do want to be good neighbors. There is some anger with the lack of communication. And I do represent the entire neighborhood. We are a block away from this development. Very excited about the changes in our neighborhood. We want to thank you for your efforts in changing Fort Worth Avenue. I want to make that clear as well. But please talk to us. Please have a discussion. We are reasonable people, and we would ask that you please, please open dialogues with us. Educate us. Is this a medical facility? Will it have physicians on site? Chronic has been in every press release. I would encourage all of y'all to look up the definition of chronic. Recurrent disease. Recurrent. That means something to me. That means thank you.
Yeah. First of all, thanks for the patience and staying all morning and all afternoon. And the second thank you is that was a very balanced, very methodical approach to the questions. I think we all agree with you. Pulling the communication, just understanding what is this, what are the changes that are planned, those sorts of things, is critical to both sides before anybody goes forward. And clearly, as we talked about earlier, neighborhoods have a right to understand what's happening in their communities, and that needs to happen. And
we're all there because it's diverse.
I'm sure
we'll have economically, it's diverse.
And I think all of us would agree that we're excited about the changes and the good things that are happening in your neighborhood. So we all enjoy that. So I think on the 21st, hopefully, we'll check a couple of boxes.
Thank you kindly.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Mr. Gates.
Your next speaker is Robert Kirkpatrick. Not present. Next speaker, Ozumba Lunk.
My name is Minister in Chief Ozumba Wagalu Lunk, Chief of the Texas African Afro American Igbo Tribe, established 1987. All praise be to God, not man but God. If God not in it, it won't work. You can hang it up almost. You know, we got to respect God. Man, we're not going to do it. Really, I want to read this in restitution, compensation, be recompensed, or whatever y'all want to call it. For 2004, y'all put me in jail. I had counsel. You locked me up. And I'm sanitary conditioning. Don't have my medication, nothing. They called me and my family problem, everything. This affected me in every area. Dwayne Calway, Mr. Dwayne Calway, I see how you got sparked up there by Cadillac Height. Good. I didn't think you was alive because no one seemed to see me when I'm upset about what happened to me. God bless your soul. Mr. David Newman, I see how you got upset about the housing over on 48th Avenue. Nobody hear me? All right. I almost had to move on forward.
You're going to need to direct your comments to me.
Boom!
You
know, nobody on West Side knows where boom came from. I called a couple of months ago. I called your office, my city council office. Nobody knows where it came from. I was sergeant in the military in 1964, 67. I know what a soldier sounds like. You all know what it is. I can't believe everything you all tell me because I still don't have a heart to what's been happening to me. But something going on. We got 12. We got too much stuff going on there. But Dallas, Texas, not know where boom is coming from. Shake my house and my window pane. Come on. Boy, I tell you, Lord, Lord, Lord. I don't believe it. I can tell you things that will blow your mind. All steel. Can't stop it, can you? I told y'all 3 weeks ago, it's going to take its course. You can't, man can't stop it. It's going to stop. And then you're going to say they stopped it. It hasn't stopped yet. It was my hair, right? Shoot cows up so the music gets blue because it got too much fat in it. Shoot the rockets at the moon and see it in the water in it. The man, the God was the one that was on the moon, he put us on the moon. People knowing nothing, perpetrating the God and going to church on Sunday. You better watch it. God is going to strike you down. Going to give me a takeaway from my time and everything. God will give you a minute and he can get you up quicker than that. Cancer. Better watch your money because you're going to get cancer in the bank and you're going to rob it. God take care of us. He promised I will take care of my elect. So, I'm sorry, brother, but hey, I'm waiting on my money. You don't give it to him praying for God to bring more oil on and everything that's on. He want to bring it. Because the Bible says anytime he thing going to happen. I said, bring it on, God. I'm building God. So if you don't like what I say, kill God. I'm building my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Bring it on. So man is honored. Greed. Love money. Money killing you, dying and got money, you can't do nothing with it. Thank you. God bless you all. God cheers.
Your next speaker, George Cortez. George Cortez. Not present. Your next speaker, Marvin Crenshaw, will be followed by Trina Trish.
Marvin Crenshaw, 5134 Malcolm X Boulevard. 2 weeks ago, sitting out in the lobby before the council meeting started, I happened to get into a very interesting conversation with my good sister here, Dwayne Wooten, and she made a very good remark. We were talking about council members and council pay. And I thought about some things. In 1991, we had the first council election in District 4. In a field of eight, there were two people emerged in the runoff. There was Larry Duncan and myself. The night before the runoff, I was summoned to the Red Roof Inn out on Jim Miller and I-30 by Mr. J.B. Jackson Jr. and Mr. Elsie Faye Hagan. And once I got there and we talked basically a little about the election, Mr. Jackson said, Marvin, I have something very serious that I want to talk to you about. He said, you know the rules. You know the rules before you get there. You're going to make $50 a week, and it's a council manager form of government, and you're wasting time where you can be representing the people and arguing about more money and to a strong mayor. And what you did tell me that he and Ms. Higgins were going to give me a legitimate job and a decent salary if elected. And all they expected me to do was to organize and represent the community. During the Donald Hill trial, the one day I was there, there was a group of us in the middle to the Dolphins Hotel, myself, Al Lipscomb, Diane Ragsdale, and Sandra Crenshaw, all former council members. And the question was asked of me was, did I think Donald Hill was guilty? And which my answer was that I don't know because I don't run in those circles. I mean, no, they don't ever call me and ask me to come over and whatever, you know. But, and Diane continued to press me, concerned about it. I said, well, look, this is what I believe. I think that we have to educate those of us who are running for council or who get elected to the council to the rules of engagement. And that is that you make $37,500 a year to serve the community. And it's hard. You know, it's a hard job doing that. We have to let people know that you make $37,500 a year. This is council manager form of government, and there are too many other things to do to do that. Because usually people who have a $100,000 or $200,000 lifestyle are not going to make it on $37,500 a year when they get down here, unless they have very independently wealthy. What we have to do that is let people know that you're making $37,500 a year under a council manager form of government. And I think that
appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Trina Trish, not present. Cora Kennedy, not present. William Hopkins, not present. Irish Watson. Brandon Reed. Gwen Wooten. That concludes your speakers, Mr. Oh, I'm sorry, Ms. Wooten. You were hidden.
Ms. Wooten?
Ms. Wooten, go ahead. I apologize. You were hidden by the podium. Thank you.
Good afternoon, Mayor and City Council. Mayor Leppard, I want to thank you for whatever you've done to help homeless and displaced people in this city. Now, this morning I was listening to y'all. And I heard y'all talking about poverty-stricken people and mentally retarded people living in your community, and you don't want these people in your community. And while you were doing that, I was looking at, right before you got on, I was looking at International History Channel and National Geographic at the same time, and Cortez was in Mexico killing Mexicans, native people of this country, and you were in Jamestown eating each other because you were homeless because you had nowhere to go. You were starving to death, and the Native Americans fed you and gave you, well, they didn't give it because y'all killed them, somewhere to live. So you're the descendants of the people who were eating each other trying to survive in this country that you had conquered. And maybe if you had assimilated the Native Americans or the Native tribes of this country, you would have more feelings. Because I'm sure there are mentally retarded people in that 12 community neighborhood district you got out there with them 12 neighborhoods out there on that land that you can stole from these people in this country. Now, I don't understand the mentality of a people who can talk about a cigarette while it all is coming out that Gulf Coast down there. I don't understand your priorities. I don't understand how you could be so selfish and inconsiderate, because every one of them houses out there in Oak Cliff, North Dallas, East Dallas, y'all getting Social Security checks and food stamps for mentally retarded people just like everybody else. And y'all need to kind of come together. And I want to thank Mr. Allen for trying to make it go down a little easier than the hardest harshness that y'all talked about these people in this city. and the developers are the ones that destroyed this city. Because there's always been houses for people to afford in Dallas, and not all of them have been public housing. And I think there's something wrong with y'all sitting down here acting like everything is perfect for your little world. Because with what's going on down there in that Gulf, everybody in a car needs to go to jail. You need to be demanded to ride the bus and use tractors or whatever you can do to get around. Because you're killing the earth. And you're inhumane to talk about a poverty-stricken person like that. And how can you believe in a higher power when Jesus said, if you offend
him, we appreciate you being with us. Thank you very much.
You offend him.
I think that concludes our speakers.
We have one more speaker, Mr. Mayor. Please. I apologize. Leslie Allen Davis.
And y'all need to stop being like this, because this paper money y'all got ain't worth nothing. No way. And you
thank you, Mr.
Thank
everybody.
You.
Mr. Davis, please state your name and address for the record.
Leslie Allen Davis, 3035 East Leadville. 441. I just want to speak on agape love and how we should work together to make the city a better place, how we can do people. And let's support Israel. Let's support Israel all we can if we can, because the Bible says whoever blessed Israel will be blessed by God. And about the swimming pool y'all probably told me trying to reopen up. You remember they had a virus here about 2 years ago and was killing all these people. Have y'all got that under control yet before y'all open these pools up for all these kids? Because that needs to be taken into consideration too, that virus. And I love you. I thank you. I'm making it kind of short this time because I ran out of words again. But I love you. Y'all teach each other to work together and love each other. And work together and try to do the best that you possibly can. Even if you don't do it the first time, know that you get your best. You don't go out with the teacher say that you fail, but as long as you try to get your best, and if it's a really good teacher, she'll show you some things you can do to help make you a better person and make you do better the next time. Well, I thank you, and y'all have a blessed day.
Thank you.
That concludes your speaker.
And that brings us to a close. We're adjourned. Thank you.
Meeting adjourned at 2:33.